The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped, like in a bottle?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. Snowed last night, so the team operations cleared off the in-stadium field and the Patriots practiced there today.
Yeah, last I saw the field, Gillette Stadium was tweeting out photos of, you know, snow hearts or something they had created on the field.
It makes sense because...
But does it?
Yeah, why?
Did you see the forecast? I said something ridiculous on Patriots Today that I want to apologize for. While I was shooting with Jackie yesterday, I said, you know, the one thing we know is it won't be like 85 degrees and beautiful in Baltimore this week. No, it's going to be 70 and beautiful. It's going to be 70 degrees on Sunday
right?
in Baltimore.
Right? Relive well, your mean, favorite but, Patriots memories at the Hall at Patriot but, Place, presented by Patheon.
I think today, though, it's a nice day out, actually. It's pretty nice. And so rather than go indoors... It's hard to get the grass because of the snow last night.
Right.
It made sense that they were on the closest thing that they could get to what it would be.
We continue to have this streak of no snow, no real cold weather. I mean, we had the cold one, but it seems like everybody else has played in the snow already. That one weekend where we watched everybody, and it's going to be 70 degrees in Baltimore.
Is that right? It's going to
be that? Whatever. I mean, 4 o'clock, maybe it'll be 50 degrees, but it's going to be nice.
Okay. It's supposed to be 50 here on Friday.
Yeah. Well, I knew it was going to warm up here on Friday.
But there's a big difference between 50 and 70.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's balmy.
Oh, yeah.
That's completely.
But I just think if you told me a.
That's more than mild.
Even a, even a 425 start, if you tell me is in Baltimore on December 20th, I'm thinking it's going to be cold.
Oh, 30s.
It's going to be an issue. And I don't think weather is going to be a factor in this game. It's not going to be cold. It's not going to be
snowy. Is
that
good or bad for the Patriots?
I don't think it matters.
No, I think it's good for the Patriots.
I think you can lock in that this is going to be a dogfight game that is going to be decided by a field goal.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that both teams this year play field goal games, and these two teams, when they've gotten together for the last four times, have played field goal games.
I thought about that because Greg Bedard got into some big Twitter thing with his followers about where you know he thinks it's completely unfair to have the Super Bowl outdoors in a stadium where it might snow. And where a team like Seattle could have a big advantage. He thinks they should always be indoors or in nice inclement weather.
Because, but doesn't that make the other team have a significant advantage?
Well, that's the thing. It's
no.
Well,
a dome doesn't favor either team.
Yeah, that's
I think
he's
it
saying.
Does. I think if you get used to, if you are built to play in a dome and you get used to a dome, it favors you.
Yeah, but
and
if you're a good defensive team, you're a good defensive team.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I don't think it's unfair.
You're talking more offense when you're talking about
weather.
No, but
you're thinking, what are the levels? I think that if you're that team that's, you know, built to play in a dome, I think you have much more of a disadvantage in the snow than the team that is built to be defensive has an advantage in the dome. You know what I'm saying?
In this day and age, I'm starting to agree. I think there were old defenses that were built, like, for here, for playing on crappy fields that were slow as crap that got exposed at times in nice weather turf-type games. I don't think it's as much like that because most people have turf now anyway, so you've lost sight of that factor. But, yeah, I mean, I guess I would agree, but it doesn't bother me. I mean, part of playing football to me is you have to play wherever you
play. Well, the argument is it's a one-game it's one game to determine the championship of the league, and it should be in as fair and neutral conditions as possible.
Yeah, I don't think it's unfair.
It was unfair when it poured in Miami. It wasn't fair. It rained. They should have not played the game. It rained.
But I definitely agree with the mindset that it's absolutely an advantage for a team to play in bad weather, but it's not an advantage to for a team that's used to playing in bad weather to play in good weather.
Right.
It's not a disadvantage. It's equal playing field. But I don't think it's unfair. Like I probably tripping on semantics here. If Greg is saying it's patently unfair for Seattle to play in bad weather, it's not. It's not unfair. It's the same field for both teams. But
why is it just Seattle?
Well,
New England. If you put them there,
I think what might have incited it was Richard Sherman is talking about
something.
How he thinks Seattle would have an advantage if it snowed in the MetLife, but overall he agrees that it should be, you know, in a place where there's no snow possible. Which to me, I'm saying, Richard Sherman, stop talking about the Super Bowl. You know.
What do you mean, from a Seahawks perspective?
From a Seahawks perspective, yeah.
Yeah, well, you have all those. But right. I think everybody thinks it should be in a place where there's no snow, in general.
Right.
Just because it shouldn't, for whatever reason.
So did the NFL up until you know, this year.
Up until this. I'm rubbing my fingers together. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You get these stadiums built so you could promise, and you have to pay
until
off
they extorted
promise.
The
are we done with promises? I mean, do we have any more promises of that?
I think you know, every 10 years or so there's going to be a new stadium. So.
Like Minnesota, they're building a stadium.
That's going to be indoor, right?
So does that mean they have to go there?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Super Bowl. I don't want a Super Bowl, whether there's a dome or not. I don't want a Super Bowl in Detroit, Minnesota, any of these crap places. Yeah.
Like, I love Indianapolis. I don't mind the city. I love the stadium. The stadium is one of my favorite places. I don't think we need to have Super Bowls there.
Yeah,
you know, I think they were extremely lucky to get a very mild week of weather.
Yeah, and they think they're back in the
they're going for another one. Yeah.
Wouldn't you if you were Indianapolis?
Sure.
Yeah. No.
Why?
I'd say I rolled the dice and I won the first time. It's going to be a debacle next time.
No, that would be my answer if I were the NFL. If I'm Indianapolis, I don't care. I get all those people here. I get the money. That's a huge thing for their economy.
Yeah,
I don't want to be laughed at.
All right,
you're not going to get laughed at if it's bad weather.
Patriots practice.
If you can't handle the bad weather like Dallas? They got laughed at. I'll give you that one.
Do we have any reports on who or who didn't practice yet?
Yeah, Boyce and Solder were not seen at practice.
Okay. What about the two other rookie?
Boyce and Solder were not seen at practice.
So that everybody Tompkins else was Dobson there. Was there?
Yes, well, they were there last week.
Yeah.
So, Dobson was there last Friday. I believe he missed Wednesday and Thursday.
But that was last week.
Right.
So we're right by saying last week.
Right. So fairly healthy. Solder, tomorrow's the big day for Solder. Last week he didn't practice on Wednesday. He was out there on Thursday. I believe that's protocol. I think you can't be out there before Thursday.
Right.
My guess is he's probably not going to be able to play in this game. You know, two concussions, back-to-back weeks. To me, that's too close proximity. Yeah. The question will be, how does Bill handle it? Does he stick with Mankins at left tackle? Or does he go into the week with
now that you have the whole game?
Yeah, and I heard, we talked about this a little bit, Mike Reese and I, as we were getting ready to do All Access, and I heard a good reason. I actually got a good reason, unlike, you know, you two clowns yesterday telling me, I don't know, you know, they thought that Svitek was going to have to play for Cannon. Just going with the best lineman theory. You know, the left tackle is the most important spot, and maybe they felt Mankins was the best lineman available at that point. So they decided it's okay to move guys from, you know, weaken two spots, but have your best lineman available at left tackle. Not sure I agree with it, but at least made sense.
I don't know.
I'm not sure 10 years or whatever he is into his career, having played no left tackle, that he's your best left tackle. When you have a guy on the bench who was a starting NFL left tackle as recently as last year in Will Svitek.
But not a very good one.
Well, that's fine. I'm not sure Mankins is a very good left tackle. I think they got away with it, but I wasn't overly impressed. Hey, to me, he looked stiff. He looked like a guard playing left tackle.
I wouldn't have done it.
If Mankins is that good a left tackle, keep him there and move Solder over to right tackle.
What do you do with Vollmer?
Vollmer's hurt now. He's on IR.
So is
Solder. I'm talking about this year.
Is Solder.
I'm assuming Solder comes back.
And Solder's a left tackle.
Do I have to explain everything?
Well, Solder's a left tackle. Now you're weakening another spot unnecessarily.
Yeah, it's easier to go from left to right.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be one of those shows, huh?
I guess so.
Can I ask a question? Paul Perillo likes semantics or whatever. What exactly how do they deem the concussion?
How do
like
they...
he got hit in the head? There was contact with his head, and according to Bill or somebody, he took himself out. He left the field.
Yeah.
Now he may it may say head, it may say concussion today. I don't know exactly what he'll be ruled on the injury report.
Right.
But in this day and age, what is the definition of a concussion?
I think it they have certain criteria. Does it meet that criteria? Yes, he's got a concussion.
But what is that? I guess I'm still a little foggy on what is a concussion.
What are the tests?
Well, I know some of the tests. You know, I've been through some of that cognitive testing and everything. What?
If you're a little foggy on what a concussion is, maybe
you have. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if they say, did you get hit in the head? Yes. Okay, there's one check mark off. I'm confused. I'll be honest, I'm confused. What exactly transpired with Soldier and what exactly transpires with anyone?
I think a lot of it does depend on the honesty of the player. I mean, if they ask him the next day, are you experiencing any headaches? Do you, you know, and if he's not honest, that doesn't help the right. evaluation. He has to be honest about it. And then there are those cognitive tests, which guys say that they cheat on for the baseline just so that when it comes time, it's easier.
I don't think Solder would do that.
Yeah, I don't either. And I don't think any player in his right mind should. You
no,
know?
Well, yeah. Yeah, but that's
a
different
lot of these
question.
Guys aren't in their right mind. So it's a two-pronged thing.
Well, they're in their right mind. It's just their right mind isn't a right mind.
It's those empirical tests that they give them, and then it's the honesty of the player.
Yeah. See, I think this may be a case, and I think he may have a chance to play this week more so than somebody else, because I think this may be the case where the player is an intelligent, educated, conscientious person who might say, I just got dinged. I'm not sure if this, but I'm going to play it cautiously.
Right.
Whereas I think if, I think there's a chance if Logan Mankins went to the sideline, he's going to miss the next week because he had a legit, however he got to the sideline, it took a while.
Right.
You know, I don't think and I'm not calling Solder soft. I want to be clear. I'm not in it. I think he is maybe a modern, intelligent NFL player who understands that the head is not something you F with.
Yeah.
And so I think there might be a chance where he could play in this situation, even though you look at it and say, ooh, a head injury on two straight weeks? Well, he can't play the next week.
Well, supposedly somebody identified that he got kneed in the head.
Well, Bill talked about it. Bill
yeah.
openly
Bill,
addressed
Bill said it.
Bill
yeah.
said, you know, described the play openly,
yeah.
which I thought was interesting. He wouldn't say whether he flew back with the team, but he would pick out the play where it happened.
He could have hurt his neck, too, on the play. Who knows? You know, it could be now something else besides the head, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. I think it's the head, and it's probably he was sort of the leader of, ooh, I just got something, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that might allow him to play in a weird way this week.
Why do you think Bill was so adamant about not disclosing whether or not he flew back with the team?
Because then you set a precedent. Yeah.
Right.
You know, did Tom Brady fly back with the team? Did Joe and Joe?
No, you don't.
Well, but that's what he does. He believes all those precedent setters.
That's how he works.
Oh,
yeah.
I could give you a laundry list of broken precedents then.
Well, 99%.
Yeah, when it suits him.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's all he has to do. The next time someone asks him and he doesn't want to give it, he says no.
But that's just what he does. I think that's Bill being Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm wondering what you think the reason was.
Well, I don't understand half the stuff he does, so for me to try to rationalize it, it doesn't work. I think
the reason is precedent. He doesn't want
to I don't think it has
say
to
that
do
this
precedent.
Guy traveled and the other guy. For all we know, there's another guy that's not even on our radar that didn't travel
right.
for some reason, and he doesn't want to open up the can of worms.
But you're missing my point. If Bill Belichick doesn't want to open up a can of worms, he just says no. Like, I don't think he cares what you think.
Yeah, I think
he cares what his players
think you think
and what the coaches think.
I think you think he breaks that precedent for those types of things more than he actually does.
He does it constantly.
Yeah, not really.
I think that's a very good example of what Andy just said. Chapter and verse on how he got hurt for this guy. Why this guy?
Yeah. I
have a million precedents of what he wouldn't get into, the specifics of what a guy's injury even was, let alone how it happened.
I think that he's very consistent and very good at not painting himself in the corner.
You're right, Andy. It is going to be one of those shows.
Yep.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. What other news do we have to talk about before we get into calls and emails here?
I don't know.
I mean, not really. I mean,
I have a loosely related thing. I don't know if either of you watched the Marty Schottenheimer last night.
I watched it.
I thought the Patriots gave the Troy Brown fumble was fascinating. I hadn't seen the footage of him telling the DBs pregame, "Hey, listen, when you pick off the pass late in the game and we're leading to win this game, go down. Don't do any of that running.
Well, I don't need you to run
crap.
Around. Did you see this?
He said that pregame.
No. Oh my God.
And now I don't think it was actually to McCree. I think it was Florence.
It was straight in Florence, but there were other DBs there.
Yeah, it was certainly.
And if he said it to Florence, he said it to other guys.
That's
too.
The vibe I got. That was maybe the message of the day pregame for and. That's fascinating. For a guy like him who's snake-bitten and can't win, which, by the way, you forget how good a coach he was. You watch that, and you're like,
you forget how crazy all the losses were. Like, you just think, oh, he couldn't win the big one. Yeah, he couldn't win the big one because his guy fumbled going into the end zone, because his kicker missed three field goals inside of 30 yards, because his stupid defensive back fumbled an interception that would have clinched the game. It's, because he let the other team drive 98 yards. To tie a game and he lost in overtime.
And I left it saying he's had a really good life. Because you look at the family.
Tremendous.
He played in the NFL. He was a great coach. And it's almost like the Tyrone Poole thing. If they had just given him Super Bowls, it wouldn't have been fair. He would have been like, he would have had everything. And like, that's the one thing that cut him off. But, you know, he's got this loving family that they clearly have this great relationship. He was so successful. It was like 98 and he had his first losing season.
Yeah.
Or something. I mean, he's like 14 years into his head coaching career and he had his first losing season.
Yeah.
He basically did what he wanted. All his one regret was leaving Kansas City.
You know
but
what? Were you disappointed by that?
Yeah.
I was so disappointed. They did a great job with the tease.
My biggest.
My biggest regret ever. Right. And that was the tease they used in the commercial. Well, it was that when he resigned in Kansas City.
Right.
Because he thought he was burnt out and he realized that he wasn't. It was his biggest regret. I'm like, really? That's it? Yeah. Not like, you know, going for the thing that was really, I thought Andy hits on the San Diego game. He was mic'd up in that game. They had a lot of footage of him. An absolute train wreck. I completely forgot about the 4th and 11. I don't know about you.
I did too.
Completely forgot about the 4th and 11 early in the game that they went for from the 30-yard line. Instead of kicking a field goal, 48-yard field goal, he goes for 4th and 11, and everybody is incredulous. Cam Cameron is sitting there and goes, the ball's in the 30-yard line. And Philip Rivers says he can't make it from here. Like they're literally like absolutely out of their minds.
It's almost like one of those Snickers commercials.
Right.
Coach, have a Snickers. You get a little weird in these situations.
Yeah. And it's like, all right, field goal. You know, but
it reminds me of a Super Bowl.
It was very similar to that.
Right.
But it was almost like Schottenheimer went into that game and said, you know what? They say that I get tight in these games. Damn it, I'm going for it. And everybody's like, now?
Yeah.
Now you're going for it?
Right.
4th and 11 from the 30? Early in the game, it's not like they were chasing a touchdown.
Nope.
Early in the game, that was a bad, bad call. And the chaos did not make him look, because it was chaos,
right.
I thought. I would best describe it as just a lack of organization. But
because everybody else was on the same page. They just weren't on the same page as him.
His detail, like they talk about, you know, how detail-oriented he was. And it's, to me, strikingly similar to Bill.
Yep.
And how everything... He went over everything, you know. Whether you know a guy's stance and you know running pass routes. If it's 9.5 yards, it's supposed to be 9. It's wrong. You know, the defensive backs are too high coming out of their crowd. I mean, he just loved to teach
and
the game
right down to the. He didn't care that you were Darryl Green. Clearly, they
Absolutely.
Butted heads. I didn't really remember that, but you know they butted heads, and Darryl Green's like, you know, I'm Darryl Green. He's a young guy. I don't think he cares. Just like I don't think Bill cares if you're whoever when
you know
come
what
in.
I really liked about that, Bruce Smith. That was a very veteran-laden team, that Redskins team that he coached for 1 year. They got off to
for 6 hours.
They got off to an 0-5 start, and it was because of the veterans weren't – he was a tough guy to play for, and the veterans weren't embracing him. And Bruce Smith said, and we realized after a while what this guy was doing and what he was saying. He was preparing us, and they won 8 of their last 11 or whatever. They finished 8-8. And the only reason why he left Washington is because he went there as the coach and GM – and Snyder took away the GM, wanted to take away the GM, and he said, I'm out. So even then, he was principled.
And he had legitimate full power. They played the clip of the press conference. I believe what we've decided, Dan, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is, you know, I have all the power, and if we disagree, then I make the decision. And Dan goes, yes.
Wow.
Like, he had, beyond full power.
And then Snyder couldn't
handle it. He had more than Belichick power, in my opinion. I still think Robert Kraft has a say in this organization. Yeah. In this press conference, they basically said, it's all you, Marty.
Really, really good to watch. And it's only an hour, so, you know.
Yeah, and I liked that, too. I think they make some of them too long. The hour is a nice window. You sit down, and the old, you know, Bill Cowher. Billy, you're allergic to zones?
How funny
Billy,
was that?
Billy, are you allergic to zones? Call a zone once in a while. Billy, you're allergic?
He's got the headsets on, and he's constantly, like, chirping at Cowher.
Billy.
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 Just like Andy said.
Wow, that's funny.
But Tony Dungy was on his staff, too, in Kansas City. That, you know.
But what all I kept thinking of is the gap in the perception of Bill Belichick and Marty Schottenheimer is seen as huge.
Right.
It isn't.
You win a couple Super Bowls and now
it's, they are neck and neck. And you could argue from the Schottenheimer perspective, because we always question Bill's, well, no.
Did it with three teams.
But that too, because I thought of Parcells. He doesn't get the Parcells credit that he should. But also, people say, well, Bill's tree hasn't really worked out. Marty has that in his favor. He has created head coaches that have gone on and had a lot of success. So it's really, it's just those stupid title games to get to a ring.
It's one of the things that I mean, I understand how important it is. I'm not trying to belittle, you know, I mean, the ultimate goal is to win championships, and that's what you're judged on ultimately. But I think it's too much. Mike Shanahan is not a better coach than Marty Schottenheimer.
Oh, hell no.
Not even close.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I'll bet easily. You if you ask average NFL fans, that's, well, Shanahan won two titles.
Right.
Right.
He's
right.
A better coach. I'll bet you Bill Belichick thinks he's a better coach because he's a game plan
so
coach.
So that's worth the watch.
Oh, yeah.
What about
and there's good old Patriots footage, too, by the way, when he played here.
Yeah, he
right?
played.
With Namath. There's some good stuff with Namath because they were like best friends.
Yeah.
How about that
when he said he was
going to
take his wife?
Oh, yeah. That was hilarious.
Had I met her first, she would have never been with him or something.
That was really funny. But, you know, like his whole, like he's corny, Marty. You know, like some of the things.
Yeah.
There's a gleam.
I could have done with a little
there's
less
a gleam,
crying.
Boys. Yeah. There's a gleam. You know, and like, you know, and just remember, how about the one I like? Just remember. And he pauses for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Chargers hard. It's just like, what?
That was the one thing I was disappointed. They kept saying like he was notorious for his motivational speeches.
And they never really showed any of them.
There weren't any that were any good.
No, they never showed any of them.
Gleam. What are you talking about?
It was, you know what?
No,
it was
I know.
The reflection.
In the trophy.
When you win the trophy, the gleam.
No,
you
know, it's the trophy.
You know when he says
you
the gleam?
You can see yourself in the trophy.
You can see yourself in the trophy. That's okay. The goal. We're trying to get that trophy. And there's a gleam. You can see your reflection in the trophy.
But there is a few different Patriots angles. I was a little disappointed. I thought maybe we'd get the he let him talk about his players and we'll worry about our team from Brady kind of stuff.
Oh, that yeah. I
thought they might have squeezed that in there somehow.
But they had like this clip that he played. Like he was a big on the detail, you know, like Bill, you know, one game at a time, one play at a time, one practice at a time, you know, all simplistic cliche kind of stuff. But he said like why when he first learned it. And he went back to a game that he was playing when he was playing for the Boston Patriots. They're playing against the Jets, and Joe Namath took off on a scramble and beat him. He missed a tackle. And he said he was so mad about it that he missed the tackle on the next play. And they showed these clips and everything. They had it.
And it was
amazing.
60,
whatever.
It was in the 60s.
You don't see a lot of that Patriots clips.
Well,
so they had this game that he was talking about. They showed it. And on the next play, I was so mad, and I ended up overrunning a play, and I missed a tackle. And on the next play, I was really mad, and then – before you knew it, there was 3-4 plays in succession that I was really mad about, and the other team ended up in the end zone because of me.
I remember plays from Pop Warner that I remember.
No, but to me, that's what Andy's saying. Like, they had the clips. Yeah. They showed them.
Because I always feel like we're lacking some of that 60s era. There's not a ton of photos. There's not a ton of clips. And this was like, he's talking about consecutive plays, and they're showing consecutive plays of him missing tackles. I thought it was.
Okay.
And he obviously had to know exactly what game it was because they're not going to go through every game.
And then my last one thing is he pulled an Andy when he met his wife. He met her on the beach in a bikini, asked her out to dinner, showed up at her house later that night and said, oh, is
Patty there?
Is Patty here? And she was the only one home. It was her answering the door.
Wow.
And she goes, no, they went out. They'll be back in a half hour. And he left because he didn't know it was her, because he now says, because I'll be honest, she was in this hot bikini on the beach. Not sure I ever saw above the shoulders.
Because I never saw her from the neck up.
That's funny. Great Schottenheimer talk.
Don't you love when Fred's just not interested?
Let's
in
focus on the dwindling playoff hopes of your New England Patriots.
When did the Gronkowski scooter photo? Was that after our show yesterday that came out?
It might have been.
Yeah,
it was during the show. It was on. NFL
oh yeah,
Network.
We saw it on here.
He had the Kansas State shirt on.
Oh, did we see it? Did we talk about it?
But there's also a second. Did you see the video clip from the Children's Hospital visit?
Yeah, with
where he's in a wheelchair and he's calling the plays. And he's like, fire, and they're handing it off, and he's getting wheeled around, and kids are loving it, eating it. He's the best.
And Ridley's like wheeling them around.
And they're dressed as, I think he's like in a green elf costume, and Ridley's in a Santa costume. I mean, he's just the best. Like, he has reason to sulk right now. He has reason to be down.
Right.
His career is ending before his eyes. You know, he's not having fun. He's going to spend another offseason rehabbing.
Bill Belichick just launched his charitable foundation.
Really?
The Bill Belichick Foundation teams up with celebrities for charity to raffle off once-in-a-lifetime Patriots game package as he launches the Bill Belichick Charitable Foundation. Announced the official launch of Bill Belichick Foundation, a nonprofit organization created to provide coaching, mentorship, and financial assistance to individuals, communities, and organizations with a focus on sports of football and lacrosse. Okay, goes
on. This feels like first step towards life after coaching in the NFL.
Belichick's mission is to bring the values of the Belichick family, a love of sports, coaching, and team building, to the athletic leaders of tomorrow.
This
is interesting.
Does this worry you, Fred?
Are you reading it, Fred?
I've got it in front of
me. Okay, why don't you pick it up, because it's probably easier for you to read than me on my phone.
There
might not be anything else there worth reading.
Belichick has a long history.
He blew his name.
As a long history of philanthropy and supports many causes, including a scholarship fund created in 2003 at Annapolis High School for students who have improved or excelled academically while participating in athletics. Belichick grew up in Annapolis, Maryland, and his commitment to the area remains strong. The Bill Belichick Foundation will formally expand that mission to the New England region and beyond. As part of its launch, the Bill Belichick Foundation is teaming up with Celebrities for Charity to raffle off a chance to win a meet-and-greet and luxury suite tickets to watch the Patriots take on the Buffalo Bills at Gillette Stadium on December 9th, 29th. The lucky winner and a guest will attend the game in a luxury suite hosted by the foundation's executive director, Linda Holiday. The winner will get the opportunity to meet Coach Belichick. In addition, the winner will be awarded an allowance of $500 for travel outside of Massachusetts, if needed, and an overnight stay at the Renaissance Hotel at Patriot Place in Foxborough, Mass. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Bill Belichick Foundation. And then it says tickets to the raffle can be purchased for $2, and there are no limitations as to how many tickets can be purchased per person. Tickets are available at netraffle.org until 2 p.m. on Friday, December 27th. The drawing will be held, and the winner will be notified after the raffle closes and the winner is drawn. And then it has a whole bunch of stuff that's included in the prize.
I'm going to buy a couple tickets.
I'm going to run down and try to do the interview. I'll be back.
So it is interesting that, you know, they decided to do this now.
Worries me.
It does it? See, maybe
feels
it's
like an eye on post football.
I know, no, but why would you launch a foundation if you're thinking of quitting? Wouldn't you want to, while you're still playing, the foundation becomes stronger?
Oh, I'm not saying necessarily this year. I'm not saying necessarily this year.
Yeah,
but it feels like, you know, my legacy. Part of my legacy, I want to be the Bill Belichick Foundation.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean that the end is near.
I'm just giving you my reaction.
Yeah,
I'm usually right.
I think.
I can't believe you just let that slide.
I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, it mentioned Linda Holiday.
Yep.
You know, they're probably talking about things. And it's like, hey, what can we do? And, hey, I'll do this for you. I'll help administer this program. You don't have to worry about it. I'll take care of all the details. And he's like, okay. You know, so I can see that happening.
Oh, I have no problem with it. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah.
I would have my concern is as a Patriots fan.
Yeah. I think that. To me, my first impression was, oh, good, more roots and reason to stay coaching.
You know? You can spin it that way.
You know, because let's face it, you know, Bill Belichick, once he retires, yes, he's going to have opportunities, whether they're on networks or speaking and all that stuff. But when you're out of the spotlight, you're out of the spotlight. And,
he'll never be out of the spotlight in New England.
Well, no, but
he will be a god until the day he dies.
Things like foundations.
I think he will, when he's done, will still be able to, if he wants to put on a gala, he will get everybody and anybody to come and spend all kinds of money. If he wants, whatever he does, because of the limited view of Bill Belichick, the limited association with Bill Belichick, he will have a huge drawing power for something like this till the day he dies.
If he's willing to be out there and
he will
and
be.
Talk and
he will be.
Yeah, write a book.
Well, I don't know about a book. But I'm just saying, if he wants to give speeches and raise money for this, he can do it. And he'll make a lot of money doing it. If he wants to just have an annual gala, they will get a lot of people at the gala. And he is set for life in whatever he wants to do in New England. He is going to be a god. He does not, you know, I think players.
He leaves and goes to the Jets.
Well, yeah, but he's not going to. But like players, you know, we always talk about, you know, Troy Brown's good, you know, post-career. He has limited.
Exactly.
It fades.
That's what I'm saying.
It will not fade with Bill Belichick. Yeah. It will never fade. Yeah. He will go down a god. In New England till they put him in the earth. Wherever they put him in the earth, on Nantucket or wherever, he will be a god in New England.
Not according to a lot of our listeners. They all want him, you know, they want to get rid of him, take away his GM duties.
But you can finish your job. Don Shula ran out of gas in Miami, but was is He's alive, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's a legend in Miami. I mean, you don't just because you're criticized at the end and you kind of lose your job, you're still a legend, and he will be a legend forever.
Well, it's interesting news, and it just broke. The Patriots just sent out that press release, so we'll see about reaction.
Why don't you give that out again? Because our listeners
netraffle.org.
Okay.
I'm just wondering why we didn't just do it on Patriots.com. I guess it's completely separate, and we just did him a favor by sending out the press release.
And the press release doesn't actually come from the Patriots. It was forwarded, but it's from
the Goodwin Group. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
and this woman
Mondillo's wife is involved.
That's her.
In that.
It says Margaret Mondillo.
Yeah.
She is the contact on this, as is JoJo, who I believe is the same JoJo that used to work in PR here.
Sean in California, my take on the new Bill Belichick Foundation that you mentioned. Linda is bored and wants a new hobby. I think in no way it's indicative of Bill's future, just my take. I think he's going to be here for a while. I don't think there's any imminent end to his tenure here.
I do.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you mean by imminent?
Within the next 5 years.
Oh, God, yeah. I do not think Bill Belichick will be the head coach of this football team for more than 5 years.
Oh, come on.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, why?
I think there's a 0% chance.
Why? He's in good health.
Mm-hmm.
He still has his wits about him.
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to do? He loves football.
Whatever
he
wants.
Loves coaching football.
Whatever he... I was thinking we could get him at Tufts. He has talked about wanting to coach linebackers at a Division III school.
But he loves coaching football. He's got the keys to the castle here. There's no better situation. He's near his compound in Nantucket. What other situation would he rather have?
Maybe he just wants to be done. Maybe he thinks he's done.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think
maybe
he
loves wants to
coaching
have a life.
Football.
Maybe he wants to go to his daughter's lacrosse games and sit in the and just be
there
a support.
In the spring. He'll have plenty of time to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Plenty?
He'll go. He'll make time to go see those.
You want to bet?
Yeah.
You want to bet that 5 years from now, Bill Belichick will be the head coach of the New England Patriots?
Sure. What's the bet?
I don't know, something big.
Something big?
Why not? It's 5 years. The chances of either of us remembering it or still being here are slim.
I don't know. Pink slips for our cars.
Okay.
No.
You can have my 160,000-mile Honda and I'll take your...
Well, you won't have that in 5 years.
I'll have something else with 160,000 miles on it.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Paul went down to the locker room to interview Shane Vereen for the PFW show, which, by the way, got a 1.5 rating last Thursday night.
Which, if people don't know, is massive.
Yeah, for us.
No. Is massive for that station.
Oh, cable TV. Yeah.
The Celtics season opener got a right around a 1, right below 1, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. And then, I mean, it's the Celtics, and I forget when it was. There was some sort of circumstances, but just think, we're competitive with a Celtics game. That's amazing.
Or it's really bad for the Celtics.
I bet you we're competitive with more than one of their games this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're doing well.
Well, Patriots All Access last Friday got a 2, and we got a 1.5, so that's pretty good. So anyone out there with a Nielsen box that happened to watch us, thank you.
And if you have your Nielsen box and don't want to watch, just click it on.
Right. Just put it on. Okay, let's go to the phones. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Philip, how y'all doing?
Good.
I'm thinking like Paul said. I don't think he'd be there maybe 5 years. Phil might still be there. But being a god in New England, I agree with that, too.
Yeah, he's a god to football. I mean, never mind New England. He's going to have opportunities anywhere he wants them.
Yeah, but I wish he could back and rethink some things. I mean, a lot of things, you know. But
a lot of things. Whoa! Wait, what do you want? A lot of things are wrong.
A lot of things this team, yeah.
Okay, what?
And I've been saying it for years, but
yeah, and he's been going to AFC title games for years.
Yeah, we've been going, but as far as we've been getting there too, right?
Now, see, this is what gets me. You have three field goals. I mean, three Super Bowl wins by mere field goals. And he was so great back then. But when he loses games by field goals or something in that range, he's terrible. He's lost it. So what's it? I mean, it gets back to my old argument. If you spread them out, if he won one, lost one, won one, lost one, won one, does that change the genius that is him? Does that change anything? If Brady doesn't throw a safety early in a game and that changes something? I mean, there has been such a fine line with Bill Belichick's greatness in individual big games, that it's not even funny. The greatness of Bill Belichick is the consistency. The fact that for the last 13 years, he has had this team in the championship hunt every single freaking year. You know, that Tom Brady has more division titles than any quarterback in the history of football and is looking to add one of those this year. That's the greatness. Not because he won three games by a field goal.
I'm talking about personnel-wise.
Yeah, and that personnel has had him in the AFC title game the last 2 years, despite the fact that morons like all of us have ripped him left and right.
And, you know, people say, well, he hasn't won anything since 2004. Winning an AFC championship is winning something. He's won two of those, and he's been to a third. And you know, so I just don't know exactly what it is that people want. I mean, what they're asking for is would be like the most amazing dynasty ever in
unrealistic is what it would be called.
I mean,
and I think this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the Schottenheimer thing. We're ripping Bill Belichick for, you know, losing two Super Bowls in a row after having won three. Schottenheimer would give his left testicle to go to a Super Bowl and is in my opinion, a Hall of Fame caliber coach for the number of wins he has, the number of success he had with different teams, and that guy would give his left nut to go to a Super Bowl. And we're criticizing Bill because he's lost a couple here.
Yeah.
I mean, people need to put it in perspective. I question his individual decisions at times, the personnel, the linebackers, but the bottom line is, yet again, he has 10 wins. Yet again, he's fighting for a top playoff seed. Yet again, he has a chance to go to a Super Bowl.
And who does it better? Tell me who does it. What, you know, look, I'm not saying the Patriots have the only way of doing it, the only system that works. But, you know, give me the better system, not the as good system, the better system, and tell me what that has given that team in terms of success. And obviously, you can't because, you know, nobody has done what the Patriots have done over the last 13 years. So I just don't know what fans want or expect. It's unrealistic.
Now, that said, he will lose it at some point.
Sure.
And I don't mean the game.
And
I mean,
that said, not everything he does is right.
No, but somehow, despite his mistakes.
Right.
And Brady is a part of that. Having Brady is a huge part of that. I don't discount that. I also just don't discount the other thing that we've talked a lot about. There's so much dysfunction elsewhere in the league, and they have such a functional franchise from ownership to quarterback to coach. That's another thing. You know, there was a lot of talk of Marty Schottenheimer in San Diego. They didn't speak, he and A.J. Smith. He asked him a question once. He didn't answer him, so he never went back and asked him. They literally did not speak to each other.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But that also kind of makes you think the Patriots are great, and they have great consistency. But part of it is because they don't deal with that crap.
Right.
That's what derails success.
Well, that's part of why we, you know, we're lucky to have Belichick because of
and
the
Brady.
Whole, it's the whole program. It's not always a great evaluator. He's a great game day coach. It's the whole program that he put in place and how it's run.
But it's also the owner and the quarterback.
Sure.
Because the owner didn't say, you know, you won 14 games, but we're going to get rid of you like they did Marty Schottenheimer. And the quarterback didn't say, you know I want to be a team player, but I need a $60 million signing bonus this offseason.
Right.
They've been able to, whatever it is, I don't know exactly if it's just perfectly worked out personality-wise, but they are on the same page, and that's why they're good.
I think it's, you know, again, I think you have to give Belichick some credit for that. I mean, whenever you hear Brady saying, hey, you know, Coach Belichick says this and we do that, that tells me that whatever Belichick is selling, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play is buying.
But did he have to buy it would be my question. Or did he was aligned in that thinking
he
naturally?
He saw in Belichick, you know what? It's worth buying into this guy's system. I believe in him.
I disagree.
Oh, God.
I think it's inherent in Tom Brady.
No.
I think it's with Brady.
I don't think so.
I think Brady had it in him.
I think Brady would see BS in a second if he thought he had a BS coach.
No, who said he has a BS coach?
He doesn't. And that's what I'm saying.
See, you're giving Belichick the credit for molding Brady. I'm telling you, I think Brady was born with what fits in well with Belichick's scheme.
I think that if Brady had RG3 from day one, RG3 would be a much better player than he is, a better leader than he is now.
Right, but he wouldn't be Brady. He'd be better, but he would not be. He wouldn't be anywhere near Brady.
Well,
anywhere near.
But he'd be better, and he
better, but not good enough. And you wouldn't have 13 years of dominance.
You
would not. I guarantee
you. The stuff that you're hearing.
Nope. I disagree.
I don't. I think, you know, I think there are some.
He's not God, Fred. He doesn't change how people are wired, how they think, what's in their heart, their egos, and their souls.
Chad Johnson
influences.
Yeah, he influences.
But does not. Chad Johnson what? It didn't work.
Well, it didn't work, but he was not, you know, he bought into a system for a year. Thought there's no way he's going to be able to do this. And he did it.
Yeah, see, I think Belichick
has the cachet and the credibility
to have an effect.
Yes.
To not change.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Well,
RG3 would not change overnight. He'd still be the soft-minded wuss who doesn't want his negative plays shown.
Yeah, I think Brady knows what he's got in Belichick and
I think Belichick lucked out in what he got with Brady.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey guys, how are you?
Great.
Good. Excellent. How's the weather?
Nice today.
Yeah, it's nice after you dug out. It's great.
Excellent. So I've been thinking about our conversation yesterday and listened to the podcast again, and I'm still having some trouble accepting the type of play calling that McDaniels actually has implemented on Sunday in our loss against Miami. If I'm Bill Belichick, if I'm the coach of the Patriots, and if I'm in the red zone, and if I throw the ball once, twice, or three times, and it doesn't work, you know, I get to the point where, you know, I would say, listen, Josh, with all the respect and in the saying that my grandfather would say, I would say, start the chip and run the ball. And I'm wondering why, you know, what's going on in the field? Is it that Josh makes a decision and then maybe Tom sees something else and therefore he decides to do something else? Was it Bill that says we're going to do this and it goes through Josh? How's the process on the field? And how does it go in real time?
I mean, it's all of the above. There are times where Brady has, you know, a group of plays that he can choose from. There's other times where it's a direct call from McDaniels. I don't know how much Belichick gets involved in overruling, but I do know, like, before a series starts, sometimes he'll say, hey, you know, this is what we're looking to do this series, and then McDaniels and Brady go from there. But it's a combination of all those things.
It didn't really work. Like 25% out of the four times we went to the red zone,
yeah,
we got success.
No, we all agree in this particular game, we would have liked to see some more runs in the red zone.
He was asked about this basically yesterday. When you look back at Miami, did you get any feeling you should have sprinkled a few more runs, blah, 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 blah. And he said, the Miami question, that's a tough one because a lot of times we have multiple options in the huddle, and sometimes you end up with the perfect blend and perfect balance when you do that. And sometimes the defense, when you're trying to get certain things against a specific look, sometimes you can get a little skewed. And he goes on, but I think he's basically saying there's multiple options there for Brady to deal with, and there are certain things we look for, and there are certain rules, and he generally goes towards the rules. And that can skew things, sway things, as opposed to just, they don't just call run the ball, you know, Ridley, blah, 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 or
yeah,
Blunt.
Yeah.
You know, he has options. And if you call that, but they're in this, well, then check to the pass and do different things. And I think he's saying it's not as simple as we're not the type of team where I just call a run play and damn it, we run the damn ball.
Well, and from what I understood, I can't tell you who I got this from, but on that last play where Brady threw the interception, at the line of scrimmage, you know, this person said that he signaled to Edelman to do something, or maybe it was, I forget who it was, and they saw something before the snap, and that new guy that just came off the street that played with him actually was out of position when he made the interception. And no one, Brady or the receiver, who do you throw to on that?
Colley, I believe.
Colley.
Was behind him.
They did not expect that guy to be there, and he wouldn't have been there if he was actually doing what he was supposed to do. You know, so there's an instance where, you know, here's Brady, you know, doing something at the line of scrimmage, and it just completely backfired on them.
And that's the situation they are in now more than ever without Gronk. Because I firmly believe there are certain situations where Brady goes by the rules, and I think there's other times when you have a guy like Gronk where he goes, I'm throwing to Gronk.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned there was one play on a third down earlier in the year where he looked right, and then basically didn't even look and just threw over the middle to Gronk. Yeah. I think in his mind he was throwing a Gronk when that ball was snapped.
And we know that because we've been allowed to hear audio back in the day when Moss was here in the huddle with Brady, where Moss would come back to the huddle and said, Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm open. I got this guy. And I'm sure the same thing happened with Gronk.
Yep.
Where Gronk says, I can beat this guy.
Or he just has the faith that he can beat him, and it doesn't have to be the perfect coverage and the perfect matchup or whatever it may be. But when you have Colley, Amendola, Edelman, now you need to find a spot. You need to find the perfect coverage, find the hole. The only problem I have with that is I actually think the ball was still behind Colley. I'm not sure it would have been a completion had it even gotten through this Michael Thomas character, who's a fascinating story, by the way. That's a, you know, the Sterling Moore type angle. This jag guy comes on, hasn't even practiced on defense, which is probably why he didn't know what he was supposed to do.
Right.
And, you know, he was probably running, you know, the Patriots, what the Patriots would do, because he's used to running the scout cards for the, for the Dolphins. But he's a fascinating story that, that comes up, and that a guy like Brady is beaten by a guy like that.
Right.
And even though it's not, I mean, Sterling Moore, I believe, is out of football now.
Yeah.
You know, but we went to a Super Bowl because Sterling Moore made a couple plays.
And, you know, people were saying how pissed Brady was after the game. I'll bet you that's part of it. It's like, that.
I was right.
That guy.
God damn it, I was right.
That guy had just intercepted my pass. How
and he didn't even know what he was doing.
Right, and he still did it. Dan in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
Good day, fellas. How you doing today?
Good.
First off, let me say that I'm sure Bill is well reassured that Fred has his, you know, next decade of life planned out for him. He doesn't make any decisions in that regard.
That's true.
I got a quick question, but first off, I'm going up for the game this weekend, and it is obviously, you know, hostile territory, so I was curious as to whether or not there were any events that you guys were attending or if you're aware of any tailgating opportunities up there.
That's a good question, Dan. Also, Harry in Maryland has the same question about if there's any gatherings. I'll throw it out there to our listeners. Does anyone know of anything going on in the Baltimore area, the Yahoo tailgate group, Barry and Siong, or anyone else? If you know of something, email it into the show, and we'll definitely broadcast it for you.
Or, or post it on the PFW in Progress Facebook page. It's another good option.
Yep. Either way, that's fine.
But, thanks for the two shows this week. They've been great so far, and I think you really covered well yesterday a lot of the concerns regarding the red zone offense. So just in that regard, my question is, how are Dobson and Tompkins looking this week? I mean, they were at practice last week but didn't end up playing, so I was a little curious as to how their form is.
Well, Dobson was only at practice on Friday of last week.
That's generally make the other team think about it, but he's really not going to play kind of thing.
We don't know this week. They're out there Wednesday, but, you know, again, you know, for you and for anyone else that has those, you know, how did they look in practice questions, Eric only gets to see them stretching. He doesn't get to see them doing
occasional bag drills.
Yeah, team drills. You know. So when we say bag drills, you know, when they hop over the bags in a line, and sometimes that can give you a little bit of
like
information.
Who, man? Couple weeks ago when he couldn't hop.
Do it right.
That probably means you're not going to play on Sunday. But for the most part, we're flying blind. We're analyzing what day they're out there. Are they in the locker room? I think both are going to be options to play this week. I think Tompkins is a little bit further ahead of Dobson, but I think you may see one of them even rushed a little. If Boyce is out, you're really, you don't have a lot going on there.
It's unbelievable.
So I would be surprised if at least one of them is not active this week.
Yeah. Does that answer your question, Dan?
Yeah, as much as it sounds like you guys are going to be able to answer that question.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Dan. Guys. All right, Dan. It might be in his fantasy. I guess this is the fantasy football championship weekend.
Is it?
I think so. Yeah, I think it is. It's week 16.
I didn't know if it was last week
of the season. No.
Because I know they avoid the last week so that if people are sitting.
Yeah, I think
this is it.
This is the championship weekend for fantasy.
Big week for the who's on after us? What's that show's name?
Fantasy football champs.
Yeah,
Thursday they're on.
Oh,
yeah.
They go by The Truth, I think. I've noticed in their emails.
The Truth?
That's kind of like their gimmick. They hashtag The Truth or something.
Okay. Let's see. David says, can you blame Bill for all the injuries this year? I know teams have injuries they have to deal with, but how do you recover from Mayo and Wilfork on season-ending injuries? These guys were rocks that played almost every down, and from the looks of the start of the year, this team would have a top 10, maybe top 5 defense if it was healthy. I think one of the problems with Bill's system is his dependency on key role players. Wilfork's job is to occupy two linemen at the line of scrimmage, take him away, and now you need two people to take his place. Mayo's job is to manage the defense and plan run or pass plays, a task that Hightower is not ready to do and may never be ready to do. People like Arrington and Hightower are clearly specific role players, and while this guy are asked to be flexible, they break when they are. Has to be flexible, they break. If you remember McCourty's rookie season, he was dynamite, and then he flattened out. I believe that was because he no longer had great safety support. so he could no longer play the interception and had to play coverage, which he was not as good at. If you don't eat, breathe, and sleep football, I think it is very hard for you to fit into Bill's system, and that is his biggest weakness. He definitely wants people who put football first and really love the game, like a Mayo. You know, mm-hmm. Mayo is that guy.
And if you, I also think the versatility he seeks, also, both of those two factors blind him to maybe elite talents who, you know, are maybe lacking a little bit in the dedication or lacking somewhere else, and maybe that's why you don't have as many playmakers. I mean, we've talked about, you know, Rob Gronkowski, the greatest playmaker this team has right now. Oh, is he too distracted, or should he be more focused on football? Oh, we're going to give up our greatest playmaker because he wants to do the Entourage movie? Come on.
Well, that's the thing. You know, Bill knows. He's smart. You know, he's always said that, look, you need to do multiple things when you come into this league, unless you are so good at that one thing that you can overlook,
right,
you know, the other. Sean in New Jersey, it's easy for us spoiled Patriots fans to complain about his personnel decisions. And Bill, can you tell me what is the highest the Patriots have drafted since 2001? He has consistently crafted and coached championship caliber teams with less than virtually any other team in the league. We will miss that more than we realize when he's gone.
Six. They had eight and then traded down
to get Mayo.
To get Mayo at 10.
Right.
They had 14, I believe, for Ty Warren. They actually traded up a spot to get Warren. The highest was Seymour in 01. Since then, it's been, you know, lower, obviously, right, than that.
Let's see. Mike in Miami, about Bill and complainers. If not for the people that question or complain about how things are done or could be better, there'd be no sports radio, TV, and maybe no professional sports at all. No, I get that. I mean, and like I said, he doesn't do everything right. Just the latest example is we think maybe they should have ran a little bit more in the red zone. So, you know, there is questioning. But the overall, how can you not appreciate and savor the fact that we as Patriots fans have Bill Belichick and everyone doesn't?
And it's a fine balance. I admit, I think of sports radio needs people questioning everything, every single individual
sure.
move. But on some level, without going all the way to "in Bill I trust," you do need to give a man credit for a resume, a track record, a consistency, and he certainly has earned that. So I think what we're looking for is the fine. Yeah, he screws up. Hightower might be a bust. That might be a horrific first-round pick, but he's still Bill Belichick. He still has gotten you into the Super Bowl, the AFC title games, and he still deserves the benefit of the doubt. It's not time yet to fire him because he screws up one pick.
Robin in Alaska says, I hate to go all Forrest Gump on the discussion between Andy and Fred about Brady and Belichick, but I think both things can be happening at the same time. Brady is what he is, which is simpatico to Belichick, and also Belichick's way affected Brady's development into what he is.
Yes.
This needn't be mutually exclusive. With that said, RG3 is a double douche and would still be as a Patriot under Belichick.
Yes. So Robin agrees
wow,
with me.
Wow, he's really gone down, huh? RG3? He's really...
Deserves it.
Hit the skids.
Deserves it. Doesn't mean it's a hole he can't dig out of. He can take, you know, go on the Cam Newton plan, the media tour, and tell everybody how he understands he's not liked and needs to mature and blah, blah, blah. It's over.
There was a time where I think Philip Rivers was looked at as kind of a jerk, but I think people kind of, he's grown on people. People like him now.
Yeah. Some of that's media perception.
Well.
He still looks like a douche to me a lot of the time.
He looks, but I think people like.
That other game where he just went, and he was shaking, but you didn't even know what he was doing.
But it's turned from that to like, man, he's so competitive. He just wants to win.
Yeah, but how does that happen? Where's the fine line between you're an a-hole who calls out your players, or you're just, that's the competitive fire you need?
I think the fine line has happened when the team wasn't so good, but he's still producing. And, you know, he hasn't acted like a guy who is upset with his team.
Yeah, I just think sometimes that stuff gets swayed by the media.
Sure.
However the media portrays it.
Yep.
You know, if ESPN's pregame show says the tremendous fire that makes Philip Rivers
right.
great, or it's the tremendous lack of professionalism that hurts the Chargers under Phil, you know, then all of a sudden people run with it. Well, he's doing the exact same thing. He's calling people out, yelling at people, screaming at people. You know, what's the difference between Cam Newton and Philip Rivers? Cam Newton a year ago when everybody was questioning. You know, I think there's such a fine line, and the media controls half that. It's all ESPN.
Fat Beaver writes in. How hard is it for McDaniel?
Now, is everything else fat, too, or just the beaver?
Oh, see, now, you didn't need to do that. My God.
The best is when he writes into Rook's show, and he's like, Fat Beaver writes in.
How hard is it for McDaniels to prepare a
game? Fat Beaver asks, how hard is it?
How hard is it for McDaniels to prepare a game plan without key players as Dobson, KT, and Solder, Cannon, and Hooman just coming back? Not much depth at tight end and upheaval depth at running back and prepare for the playoffs. Yes, I know there is a scenario the Patriots could miss the playoffs, but if you do, then you really don't have much time to be operational, I guess, if you think that. How much money does Nate Solder, is he worth long-term extension? I don't know. That's kind of, I'm not sure I get that.
$40 million.
It's tough to plan an offense when you have different personnel. We talked about that a couple weeks ago that, you know, we're not to the point where we just plug people in and they do the same thing. These, especially these rookie receivers, they all have unique things about them that you just can't have the same guy do the same, you know, the other guy's routes and
Tight end, the same thing. You can't just say, oh, who man's going to be Gronk this week?
Right. So it is, tough on McDaniels
and Brady and Belichick.
And Belichick kind of talked about that a couple weeks ago on EEI, that, you know, you have to be flexible and know what each guy can do and kind of come up with a game plan to, you know, use them in the best position possible.
But the good thing is that's what they do. They have always used a lot of personnel groups, even when they had elite talent. You know, Welker, Hernandez, Gronkowski, they rotated guys in and out. They used different groupings, and they've always been game plan oriented. They've always been trying to maximize their strengths and cover weaknesses. So it's harder because you don't have as good a player doing it, but it's sort of what they've always done in terms of the game plan process.
Let's see. Noel in Denver.
Jim Harbaugh do too many commercials for your liking?
Who?
Jim Harbaugh. Seems like he's always on commercials. I just saw another new Pepsi commercial. Does it bother you if your coach does a lot of commercials or just your players?
Well, he does those for Pepsi, and he's usually – it's always Pepsi. Or no,
Visa.
He does the Visa one, too.
NFL, yeah. Visa, Pepsi.
Yeah.
That bother you?
Nah, not really.
So a coach can do whatever he wants, but not players.
I think those are done in the offseason, and that's it.
I'm just – you know, just I want to know where your consistency lies or lack thereof.
Yeah, I don't see him doing a lot of other crazy stuff. Let's see. Before I head out to the golf course today, says Noel, he's in Denver, I'll be listening for about 45 minutes, supposed to break a record here in Denver, 75 degrees, Peyton Manning weather. Last week's Stafford was not very clutch, and I don't think Tom will make those same kind of mistakes against Baltimore. What we have accomplished with so many injuries is absolutely phenomenal, and do you think we would be a top five ranked defense with everyone healthy? I think we'd be up there. I really do. I also would like you to comment on the intensity of the Patriots' start to their games with it's almost like a prize fighter seeing what his opponent has instead of putting his pedal to the metal.
Well, but that's what they do.
So they kind of feel teams out.
Yeah, and I think that's part of their whole cerebral mentality, matchups and strengths versus weaknesses. I think it's if you don't have a thing you do, it's hard to come out balls to the wall and do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you blitz all the time, okay, well, I come out on the first drive and I blitz all the time. But if you are a game plan matchup-based unit on either side of the ball, well, you've got to feel how the game's going, how they're playing you, all that. It's inherent in their system.
Noel says, after watching the Monday night game, we can't afford to do that. What do you feel we have to do to get a fast start and play with more intensity? And, oh, by the way, I still feel we can win it all, and if we remain the number two seed, we'll work out like last year, except let's go to the Super Bowl. Love the show that keeps me close to my favorite sports team since 1960.
Woo! Wow. Do you remember Marty Schottenheimer when he played
here?
I'm
sure he does.
To me, one of the huge factors is this offensive line this week. You know, we've talked about the fact that the four road losses, the one thing they have in common is the other team had a very solid defensive front that was key. And I think you have a banged up offensive line going against a very solid defensive front with Suggs and Nada and Doomerville and everything they roll out at you. If you're banged up or if Logan Mankins isn't, you know, settled at left tackle, you could have an ugly start. And to me, it's all on the offensive line to start this game.
Yeah. Let's see. Mike in Smells Like Money, Florida.
Money smells that bad?
Oh.
I wouldn't know because I don't have a lot of money, but.
I think I can usually tell when Fred is being sarcastic. I hope I just missed it yesterday, and Fred did not really mean that smart people agree about football. If he believes that, then, as I am very smart and disagree with Homer all the time, Fred must believe that he is dumb.
You said smart people always agree on football.
I forget the context in which I was saying that. I wasn't a flat-out statement like that. It had to do with something.
I think you're being sarcastic, I'm guessing.
Well, no, I think we were talking about certain things that, you know, are evident. We were talking about replays. And, you know, if it's a whether or not something is overruled or something. And if you're smart, you can usually tell. I think that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't recall.
Yeah, I don't either.
Clearly you offended some people, though, who don't think like you.
Right. Let's see. Alex in Philly. I'll admit, without Gronk, I didn't expect much from the offense, but the Edelman-Amendola show was impressive. I expected those guys to get catches, but nowhere near the amount of yards and plays. I think we played well, which is the sad part. That may be the best we can do with what is left. We only scored 20 points, which is on par with our points per game average without Gronk. 20 points with this defense is not good enough. I'm not sold on any part of our D. We do nothing well. Coverage, stopping the run, pass rush. Are there any of these? Are any of these strengths? How often this season have we said, when this guy comes back or when that guy is healthy, we'll be fine? The reality is that the guys who are hurt are still hurt and will be for the rest of the season. There's no help coming. We are what we are, and that, like it or not, that is a one-and-done football team. Saying this may not make me a true fan, as some of the blind homers would say, but you are a homer here. But if you are a homer, here is the hope you can cling to. If the Broncos, Bengals, Chiefs, Colts, Ravens, Saints, Panthers, 49ers, Bears, Eagles, and Seahawks all choke, we're Super Bowl champions.
That's a great email. I agree with it 100% start to
finish. Well, half those teams, we don't have to play any of them until the last game.
No, but if you're one of those that believes everybody else sucks too, and that's why the Patriots can still win the Super Bowl, right, you'll need some of those teams to lose because you'll go through an NFC team.
At the end.
Right.
Right.
But you need everybody to lose. Yeah. He's right, though. What does the defense hang its hat on? Nothing. Nothing. They can't do anything well right now at a high enough level, and that hurts them.
Well, we'll see. I think they're getting better.
What's getting better on defense?
Huh?
What's getting better on defense?
They seem to have solidified a little bit against the run. They're not as bad as they were.
Is that what you're going with? They're not as bad as they were?
Yeah.
Because they played a corpse 2 weeks ago and did a fine job. And this last week, the other team ran the ball whenever they wanted.
And I also think that...
they just didn't run it much.
I also think that Tlaib is going to be a little bit healthier.
How?
And that's going to help. And Dennard's going to be a little
healthier. Last I saw, he was getting torched by Josh Gordon, or he couldn't match up with Andre Johnson, or they were choosing to match him up with a tight end.
Yeah, this is going to be... When they beat Baltimore, you'll be on my side.
Well, when they lose to Baltimore, are you going to be on my side?
I told you I will not be sniffing if they lose to Baltimore. But I certainly will be when they beat them.
And the other thing, I just looking ahead slightly, because you know I've been looking ahead for 2 weeks now. I thought if they lost last week, they'll lose this week. So now I'm assuming they lose this week, which means you have to beat the Bills at Gillette Stadium to make the postseason potentially. Correct?
Right.
That defensive front, you know how many guys they have with more than 8 sacks? Bills, Buffalo?
I don't.
4.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you have another defensive front that can put some pressure on Tom Brady and give you problems.
Every year.
Did they give you problems in week one? I think they did. You almost lost.
Every game, it seems like we're playing a good defensive front.
Right. And the ones we've lost have been to good defensive fronts.
Yeah.
That's the marquee matchup that costs us.
We've also won games against good defensive fronts.
Okay, which ones? Give me them. Give me
the
list. Houston doesn't have a great defensive front. They have a great defensive player. They're not great. Yeah. And you eked it out.
Yeah.
Buffalo, you eked out.
That doesn't matter. We won.
The Jets, you eked out.
We won.
So you're very much.
And we're going to eke out this game.
Oh, no, you're not.
No?
No.
You said it's going to come down to a field goal.
Yeah. For the other team.
But
who's got the better kicker?
If it's that close.
You even lose your matchup weapon this week. They have the better kicker with the stronger leg.
If it's that close, you're not that sure then.
No.
It could go either way.
No, but I'm feeling pretty sure that it's going to be close and pretty sure that in a close game, the home team has the advantage. And I'm pretty sure when the Patriots play a team with a good defensive front on the road, they lose.
I hope you're so sure
for
next Monday when the Patriots have won.
I'll be fine with it.
Yeah.
Unlike Paul, I'm not hating to go to the Super Bowl or anything. Right. I just look at it objectively. I think Baltimore has no fear of you. They've played you tight 4 straight games. They've shown that they can win some tight games against you. And oh, by the way, what do they have that's good? Red zone defense, 4th in the NFL. Where are you struggling right now? Red zone offense, rut-row, raggy. Okay. You're going to kick field goals. What happens when you kick field goals?
So how is it going to be
you
so
lose.
Close?
Because Baltimore plays Baltimore's not that good.
Okay. So there's a,
but Baltimore can win this type of game.
You're building up a scenario where the Patriots don't have a chance.
No, I'm not.
And that's fine.
I'm building up a scenario.
If you believe that, that's fine.
No,
say it.
They will have a chance just like they've had in virtually every game this year.
Why will they have a chance?
Because they have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Okay.
Same reason they always have a chance.
Well, all right.
And by the way, the other teams aren't that good. Nobody's set up to blow you out.
Okay.
Nobody's set up to score a lot of points.
But
everybody has a chance.
It doesn't sound
have you watched
like
the league this year? It's crap on a field.
It doesn't sound that way. I mean, it sounds like, really, the Baltimore wins every matchup.
With the Patriots, they win some matchups.
Yeah, well, not
who's
some.
Better, Torrey Smith or Aqib Talib?
I'm talking about
right now, who's better, Torrey Smith or Aqib Talib?
I would say Torrey Smith.
Okay, so you lose that matchup.
I'm talking about
you
offense.
Won't have trouble stopping the run. The Patriots will stop Ray Rice and his 2 yards a carry and their 3 yards a carry as a team. They don't run the ball. So the one thing you said they're getting better at will definitely look better this week. The only problem is it won't matter.
Okay. To the tune of a dogfight.
To the tune of a dogfight.
Okay. I like that shit.
I'm not saying you're getting blown out.
Right.
Do you like your, how have dogfights gone with the Ravens in the last four?
It's okay.
How has it gone? How has it gone in the postseason with the Ravens, two of the last three? In games that matter? Cause to me, this is a postseason game. These two teams are playing to be in the playoffs, so it has a feel of a postseason game.
We had the last regular season game was robbed. We had that game won, and you know, it was a bad call on the field goal. And, you know, they beat us in the AFC Championship game.
Wait a minute.
In the dogfight before.
We got robbed. But their kicker choked, and they had a receiver drop a ball in the end zone for the win. So they lost the win and the tie.
Oh, and
but they didn't get robbed. Right. Only we got robbed.
Yeah, we got robbed in that game. There's no doubt about it. You know,
there's a lot of doubt about it.
You and Paul, it's like, you know, the other teams are the only ones that get the bad breaks.
Don't align me with Paul. Yeah. I don't want to be aligned with him.
No, you're just with him.
I don't want to be aligned with him. I want to be aligned as Objective Andy. Objective Andy looks at this game on paper in Baltimore on a good defensive front. Oh, so who are you picking to win?
I'm picking the Patriots.
Why?
Because I said last week the Patriots are going to lose to Miami. Why did I pick Miami?
Because I picked four losses.
You know why?
That's what you said at the time. You said I picked four losses, so I'm going to pick one.
No, but I actually thought the Patriots would lose.
Okay, so yeah. Why are they going to win this week? Because give me the reasons.
I think they're going to regroup. I think you're going to get if Tompkins and Dobson aren't playing. But I think they're going to play. I think you're going to have
so one of them plays. How do you feel?
I think a little bit better. You're going to have that, you know, a little bit bigger target in the red zone.
So we'll get back to that dominant early season red zone offense.
I think you got another week. I think you got a week now that you've regrouped after Gronkowski. I thought that last week was a transition week. So I think, you know, the offense has another week to have plan of with life without Gronkowski. You know, I didn't know about, you know, the shoulder thing. That could
is an issue.
That could be
they have two
issue.
Guys with nine sacks, and you're going to have backups at both tackle positions.
I think
that sounds good.
I think that could be an issue. I think the defense is slowly getting a little better every week, and I think this week will continue to be that.
They just let a guy throw for a .120 passer rating.
Yeah, that's
their
all right.
Second
they do that
the
all
year.
The time, and they've been winning for the years.
No, they don't.
You know, so
they don't do that all the time. It's the second highest of the season.
And then the other thing is, you know, I agree with you. I'm not scared of Baltimore's offense necessarily.
I'm not either.
You know, they. Back
trouble is, Baltimore's willing to win games with field goals.
That's fine.
That's what they're willing to do.
I know. So, I'm, you know, if everything
who's
was
got the better return game?
If everything was the exact same
who's as, got the better kicker?
Well, we have as good
who's
a kicker.
Who's got the better defense?
We have as good a kicker as they do.
No, know? We don't. Right
because
now,
he has one bad game?
No, he's the better kicker. It's close. There is a, it's like the teams. It's neck and neck.
Right.
But they have the better kicker at home.
It's going to be a close
so
game.
So he knows the environment better. He has the stronger leg. He's just kicked a 61-yard field goal to win. He's a guy that notoriously kicks 60-yarders in warm-ups. Our guy kicks 54-yarders in warm-ups, sometimes 58. I don't see everybody.
I don't
Mike
understand
Reese
why
it
you
out
think
every
it's going to be close. I don't
what?
Understand.
Because that's what both of these two teams do.
Yeah.
They play close. But who do I think wins the matchups and can make the key plays at the key times? The Ravens.
Right.
The red zone defense, the kicker.
The Patriots
two things
never
right
make
there.
Key plays
that's why
key
you
games.
Win. Excuse me?
The Patriots never play make
how many
key
have
plays
they made this year
times?
When they really needed it?
Oh, please.
How many? Give them to me. Go ahead.
I don't
just
know.
List them off.
Pretty much every game they've won come down to the wire.
Right.
I think that requires key plays.
So do you think if Brady
does
throws
that not
a pick,
require key plays?
If Brady throws a
how
pick
do you
on
get
the last
to the
drive
point where you can come back?
Because the other team stinks.
Oh, okay.
And you even saw
right.
it this week.
So,
you said
again,
they marched down the field because the other team stunk.
I am aligning you with Paul.
That's not fair. I don't want to be aligned with Paul.
You just made yourself aligned with Paul
by not.
Everything good that the Patriots do is because the other
that's
team
BS.
Stinks.
I think a lot of key plays have come down to the other team
right.
stinking.
I just asked you, how is it possible the Patriots make these key plays? You said because the other team stinks.
I didn't say that.
You give the Patriots
actually, you're putting
no
words in my mouth.
Ever.
And you don't like it when
ever.
I put words in your mouth,
you
so don't put words
it.
In mine.
Those were your
no,
words.
No, I give them plenty of credit.
Look,
they have made plays
Paul
this year.
It.
They have no, he admits
yes,
nothing.
At least
he
admits
just
it.
Changes the argument
you know
so
what?
You get confused.
I can't align you with Paul because he's honest about it.
This is what you guys always do. You change my argument.
Paul is honest about it. You're not.
I'm
you're
honest.
Like Felger. You want to be both ways. Well, I said it was going to be close.
No, I actually
no, I
just,
thought the Patriots had a chance. I didn't think they didn't have a chance. But everything
wait
you
a
say
minute.
Says the Patriots don't have a
wait
chance.
Wait a minute. You think the Patriots are going to win, right?
Yes.
But you think the Ravens are going to have a chance?
Yes.
Well, so how you're having it both ways.
Right.
Why can't I think the Patriots are going to lose but right. think that they have a
right.
chance?
You think the only way the Patriots have a chance is if the other team screws up.
I didn't say that.
I think you just did.
Can you rewind it, play the tape if I said that?
I think you just did.
I did not. I said to you, I think it's going to be a dogfight. And I think they, in the key areas, like kicker, like returner, who might get you a return out to the 40-yard line to start a drive you need to win a game late. And oh, by the way, red zone defense, they have the advantage in three key areas. Three.
Okay.
Can you count to three?
I agree with you on all three.
Thank you. I got this genius with me.
Tucker's made, what, 33 field goals in a row? That's not just a good game.
Yeah, I mean, he's ridiculous, Fred. He is a great kicker. Okay. Right
one
now,
good game away from setting an all-time
kicker.
NFL record.
And he has a stronger leg, and it's his home field, so he knows the environment better. Whatever cross wins, that's an advantage.
I'm pretty sure Jacoby Jones has at least one return already this year for a touchdown.
Oh, he does.
I can't remember
the
last time.
He had a 70-yarder in two straight games. A 70-yarder in two straight games. When was the last time we had one longer than 40?
When was the last time we got outside the 30?
We have one good return from Josh Boyce, and we were excited because he went 40 yards. We were literally giddy because the guy went 40 yards. This guy's got 70-yarders in consecutive weeks to help them win games.
How is it that Baltimore's lost all these games this year?
Because they're inconsistent, because they can't run the ball, because their quarterback's not as good.
Okay.
Are those all factors?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering how they
lost
all these games.
Luckily, for their quarterback, crap quarterbacks can do whatever they want against this defense. Because if you're Jason Campbell, guess what? You're not that good, but you throw for three bills. Case Keenum. Anybody.
Right.
We know that you're going to have success throwing the football against this defense, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So that's why. That's why they have a greater advantage. Because you can't take away what gives them trouble at times. Their passing game. Their protection is not great. How's our pass rush?
The Patriots have a lot of faults, but they overcome them by being
I want you to give me the strengths, the matchup strengths that are going to make them win this football game. That's what I want. Like, I'm giving you the matchup strengths for Baltimore that are going to let them win.
I think that, you know, it starts with Brady. I think that Brady overcomes, you know, Baltimore has a great defense, but it's not as good as it has been.
And it's not as good in the back end. I will give you that.
You know, so.
But do we have the weapons to take advantage of that right now?
I think we do. I think that, you know, again, it's gonna require, and it sounds strange to say, you know, if a rookie comes back, but whether it's Dobson or Tompkins to have that little extra in the red zone. But I think getting to the red zone again, we're not going to have a problem doing that.
We will get to the red zone on occasion. That's what we do.
We're going to get that. We're going to have to convert. And we're going to have to
against the number four red zone defense. Yeah. One of the best in the NFL with an offense right now that is trending red zone-wise very much in the wrong direction.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that I think the Patriots are going
to
be
just okay. Say, I only picked them to lose four games. I can't pick against them again. It's
no,
okay.
I honestly think they're going to win this game.
Okay.
You know, I think that going in, I felt I picked them to beat Denver. But I was much more hesitant about that game than this game. I thought they'd have much, you know, it was much more of a tougher
win. Baltimore has played better of late. We were all swayed by the Baltimore sucked early in the year. Let's be honest. They weren't playing good football.
I think that, for example, Monday night, that game was there for the taking for Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was just.
No question.
That was horrendous.
But every Patriots game and Ravens game played this year was there for the taking for both teams.
Yeah.
When you play 17 games decided by a field goal or less. All four teams involved in all those games had chance to win.
Yeah, and I think the Patriots have a chance
to win. I mean, the only game that didn't have a chance this year was what? Pittsburgh? We blew Pittsburgh out.
You just spit something.
I know, I saw that.
Yeah. It's just a little suds.
It's kind of gross.
It's just a little suds.
I don't know what it was. No, it's just, or is a piece of food?
No, it's just suds. Okay. I can show it to you. See?
No, I don't want to see that.
A stack of bubbles
it's
on the
not,
microphone.
Is it suds?
Yeah, it's just spittle.
I don't like that.
Spittle.
Disgusting.
But there's a lot of other stuff on here. You ever look at these?
Yeah,
does yours have stuff on it?
I should bring my own thing. Andrew's in Buffalo on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Andrew.
Fred, how you doing?
Good.
I was listening to your conversation earlier about the cornerback that picked off the ball in the end zone. I heard you were saying that he was in the wrong position.
That's what I heard. I don't know that for a fact. Yeah.
I mean, looking at the play, I mean, could it be that he just had good instincts and he used like he used the knowledge of football, just knowing where the ball was going to be and made a play despite the fact of what the play was at.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know the reason why he was where he was, but from what I heard, Brady thought that he knew where he was supposed to be, and it turned out he wasn't where he was supposed to be. But like you said, and it makes sense for a guy that just walked onto their team that maybe his instincts did take over and maybe he faded back, you know, in his coverage and was in the right place at the right time.
Right, and that goes back to our defense to where I feel like we don't have players that have that kind of instinct to make a play like that. It's just sort of, you know, they make the tackle after the catch is made, but they won't take any chance. That was a chance that guy took. But you could see another – now, there was another wide receiver going across the formation, like a little post route in the middle of the field. I believe it was Julian Edelman. I'm not sure. It looked like he was like a little bit open.
Well, that's probably, I think Brady expected that guy to come up and pick up Edelman. And that's why it surprised Brady that he was back there, because they had that, you know, a route above that was supposed to draw that guy up and open it up in the end zone, and it turned out they didn't cover Edelman.
Right, right.
But that was underneath.
Right, underneath route.
I mean, on a fourth and...
Right.
I'd be covering the stuff that was threatening my end zone, too.
Right.
So now you're saying it's a little poorly designed or poor the thought process.
Maybe.
I mean, to assume they're going to cover the underneath.
And I could be 100% wrong.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Just like about your prediction for the game.
Right, yeah.
Look at the play.
Who's winning in the picks contest by like a mile? Mr. Pick'em?
One more thing before I let y'all go. Could it be that, I think Brady throws the best ball in the team route. And I just think that teams know that that's where his bread and butter is at. Do you think that maybe he could be a little predictable when it comes to that throw in the seam?
In the seam? I mean, is that what you said?
Yeah, the seam route.
No, I don't necessarily think so. I don't think he's been overly consistent all year throwing the football, personally. I think he's been okay, but I think... And we do this every year, but there have been some bad throws virtually every game where he missed that one. Oh, he missed that one. And they're just not good enough. You know, I think he missed them in 07, too. But they got it on the next play.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now you're not good enough to miss those. So,
and Brady's mentioned it several times that the margin for error is
right.
thin. If that's on his mind, it's true.
When you miss Rob Gronkowski behind a linebacker in 07... Well, then Randy Moss catches the next one, or Wes Welker catches, and everybody forgets. It's irrelevant. When you miss him in punt, it's relevant.
I'm sure when Brady goes home, and he would never say it at the podium, but when he goes home, he's saying, "Jeez, I got to be freaking perfect."
Yes.
I'm sure he's saying that.
And that's sort of what it is. And it's not just him. I mean, on offense, it is sort of just him. But, like, it's what I'm asking of Chandler Jones. You know, we only got so many playmakers left. You're one of the best. Chandler said it last week. I need to be more consistent. I need to be more impact pass rusher. That's what stars do when everybody else goes down. You create that aura about yourself by stepping up when your team needs you. And Brady, the offense needs you right now. They need you to be pretty close to perfect, and he hasn't been yet.
Thanks, Andrew. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hi, what's going on?
What's up, Melvin?
Not much. Just like what you were just saying, Andy. I don't know if you all remember after we lost the last Super Bowl to the Giants, whatever. Big conversation was about getting that player on defense that, you know, teams are scared of, that they're afraid of, that you have that fear in.
Yep.
That you realistically have the game plan around.
Yep.
And just really said that with, I'm afraid somewhat, love Chandler Jones, and especially I love Rob Ninkovich, but I'm afraid that, you know, maybe we got kind of complimentary players that are really good as a compliment, but are not that guy that you have to bring it every single week. Although I know that they, you know, we can't afford to have those slumps somewhat, you know,
mm-hmm.
that they might be having. That might be that, you know, that key pass rush that causes that strip sack and that fumble and that turnover that we need. We have to have that week in and week out. So I'm concerned. And that could come from, you know, I was looking at, you know, the Clay Matthews. We need that, which kind of failed with our Dante Hightower kind of thing. We need that outside pressure threat that we can depend on week in and week out. And I feel like it's, you know, some of this wide defense is, you know, kind of playing so mediocre and allows, you know, so much because we still need that guy that teams are afraid of. And I love Jones. He hasn't made that jump.
Nope.
Well, I'll talk about it, but he's made an improvement.
He's better. He's good, and he's better than Ninkovich. Ninkovich, in my opinion, is definitely a complimentary player. Although I will say, I think he's actually had his worst year in the last few years. I think he's been more quiet than I've grown accustomed to expecting him to be.
He's made some key plays.
But not enough. I thought he was a borderline Pro Bowler a year ago. I don't think he's been as good this year.
Yeah.
Jones is good. And it's too early and unfair to say, oh, well, he's not a dominant guy off the... Well, you know, J.J. Watt is in his second season. That's why he wins Defensive Player of the Year. That's why you're the best defensive player in football. There's a lot of other guys that are good. You know, look at my guy, Robert Quinn. He's a Defensive Player of the Year candidate this year. What year is it? It's his third year. So you can become great over the course of a span, you learn. But I do agree. I mean, I think,
And it's not just pressure, it's anything. They need something good right now. We talked about early in the year how much Aqib Talib made the whole defense better by being a shutdown corner.
You know, there was a, and thanks for the call, Melvin. That was a good call. You know, Felger and Maz were talking about, you know, the single most biggest difference between the defense early and now is Talib. You know, when he was healthy and playing well, he made the biggest difference. And I agree to a certain point. But even if Talib was healthy now, we don't know without Mayo and
right.
Wilfork if he could still do what he was doing early in the season. So,
yeah, I don't think you can make that definitive statement.
You can't yet.
And I have I still question the financial on Wilfork, but I've earned more respect for how good he is with him not out. You know, that MVP
right.
thing? And part of that is how the run defense has been. Part of that has been the pass rush around him. Part of that is the versatility to be out there more. I think his value to that front, I underestimated a little
bit. I don't think it's too simplistic to say, well, you know, the defense isn't as good as it was before because Talib isn't playing like he was. I'm not sure about even if, like, again, if even if he's completely healthy, the defense would be as good as it was early without Mayo and Wolford.
Right. I mean, you're signing guys off your – everybody's excited for the run defense because Silver Seeliga has been out there 2 weeks in a row,
right.
and they've been better. Well, that's a practice squatter.
There's
why
he was available.
Right. So, yeah, I there's a lot going on there, and a big part of it is you lost two Pro Bowlers up front, too, and your third potential Pro Bowler isn't what he was.
You know, and Bill Belichick, you know, has that armor around him when it comes to, like, never – throwing guys under the bus or admitting any weakness or anything like that. But he came as close as he ever has – you know, a couple weeks ago when they were talking about this and saying, you know, you just don't replace a Vince Wilfork. You just don't replace a Gerard Mayo.
Right.
You know, he would never say those. Now it's just so obvious that it's crazy not to say it.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, postseason, you know, when they're done, he'll, you know, it was an interesting year. We lost some key guys. He'll go over it a little bit
right.
more in like a big picture view. Yeah. But it's obvious. When you lose Pro Bowl talents, you're not as good. Simple.
Larry's in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Larry?
Some therapy, man.
I don't know if it's therapy. Yeah. I've been saying I think the Ravens are going to win. Does that work as therapy?
it just got worse as the season went along. I thought it was going to get, you know, at least better a little bit. But when Grunt went down and Talib is just not healthy, can't get healthy, and, you know, Amendola, I don't know, but it just like I felt like he should have made that play. He had the ball in his hand, and I felt like he should have made that play.
It was a good play by the defender.
Good play by the defender, and I also think in one of those real, if you notice, he had it in his fingertips, not in like his hand, inside his hands.
Right.
I think had he had it inside his hands as opposed to the tips, I think he might have caught it. But the way it hit the hands, he had there's no strength there. There's no
right.
ability if the guy hits it and. He knocked it out.
It was close, but...
It was very close, but I've heard people saying, like, kind of like ripping him because he didn't make the play.
No.
He's like Welker when the most important play. He didn't make it. Like,
and I was kind of afraid of this, but a lot of people kind of misinterpreted our cover where, you know, we said it the one that got away, and then
we had a picture
of Amendola. It wasn't meant to say that that was the play that got away.
Fish
it
story.
Was the game that
right.
got away, and it was a fish story, but... You
know, I thought of that,
we
too,
we didn't
by
mean
the way.
To, like, single out Amendola as, oh, that was the play.
Yeah,
no,
I thought of that. I actually thought even a more of a stretch was we have Amendola dropping the ball, and we let Welker get away if you really wanted to take it by extension.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think we need to win this game in Baltimore. We got to solidify at least the second seed so we can get a rest because if we have to go on the road or anything like that, it's going to be real bad.
I agree. I think that's another reason. I just think they have to win this game. Patriots, yeah, they can still get in the playoffs. They beat Buffalo. But I think for their psyche to have lost to Baltimore, you know, they need to beat good teams going into the playoffs. And you lose to Baltimore. What does that do for your confidence going into the playoffs?
Yeah, but what does it do for Baltimore? They need to win it, too.
No, I know.
It's a must-win for both teams in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
I know.
It's a playoff-type
like
game.
Well, I think it's more of a must-game for Baltimore, maybe. But
technically, yes.
Yeah.
Larry, you think the Patriots need to win. Fred has been unable to give me a reason why he's going to pick the Patriots to win. Give me a reason why the Patriots are going to win.
Well, I believe that Bill Belichick is going to find a way because Flacco wasn't being good this year. He's all that good this year. If we can minimize the big plays, I feel that we can squeak this one out. I'm not saying we're going to win big, but we can squeak this one out.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like if we can minimize the big plays and the run, if the run wasn't that good for Baltimore this year,
sucks.
But if we could squeak it out.
Yeah, I agree with you. Big plays are a concern. Torrey Smith is a concern for me. That is a concern. But I also have the concern of Ray Rice and Pitta. You know, Pitta is back, and Ray Rice as a receiver against a guy like, I don't know, Dante Hightower, who has struggled a little bit in that area. I think those three weapons concern me a little bit. And then even Jacoby Jones concerns me. They have some weapons.
The kickoff returns.
If you can't get a – I think they need to get a little pressure. They need to take advantage of that offensive line and get after Flacco a little bit. Now, I don't know if that's aggressive and blitzing or if that's just, you know, Chandler. Rob, I mean, this is right. The week. Win your right. Matchups. We need you this week. I think pressure is key for both teams as to how they play this game on defense.
And it would help if Baltimore don't make the playoffs either, because I feel like if Baltimore makes the playoffs, they can make some noise. I just feel like they can make a win.
Hey, at this point, I think any team that makes the playoffs can make some noise.
You know why? Nobody's really all that good.
Because there's a lot of parity.
Because when you throw a lot of chicken bleep in, somebody's going to turn into chicken salad.
Thanks, Larry. Let's see, Chad from Douglasville, Georgia. I had a question that may turn into a pretty good debate. In the Patriots offense, what do you guys think has been a better offensive fit for Tom Brady? The ever-popular two tight end set or the good old deep ball Moss-esque type of scheme? I was joking around with my coworkers about Jimmy Graham being a free agent next year, and that, although unrealistic, it would be pretty cool to see Gronk and Graham working together. It's also pretty interesting that we've been to a Super Bowl using each of the said schemes. So what's the best scheme in your opinion or your favorite?
Well, it's interesting, and you can even take it a step further, though. You went to the Super Bowl and lost using both. I think tight ends, playmaking tight ends, would be a better fit. The deep ball is not Brady's strength. I don't think it's going to be his strength getting better as he gets older in his 30s. So, yeah, if your little dream scenario comes true and I could get a deep guy or I could get Jimmy Graham, give me Jimmy Graham and Gronk on the field, and I think Brady would kick ass, take names, and win, unlike what he's going to do Sunday afternoon, because Fred can't give me a reason why the Patriots are going to win.
Right.
At least until the playoffs.
John in South Carolina.
You missed a good one.
John at South.
I slapped Fred around a little bit with what they call facts.
See, that's what happens when one of us leaves.
John at South Carolina says, so far Andy has given the advantage to Baltimore in offense, defense, special teams, yet somehow he thinks it'll be close.
Because they always are close, and Flacco's not that good.
The problem with Andy's pick is if the Patriots win, we will have to hear excuses as he somehow attempts to flip reality. So
no, there'll be no excuse.
I said,
that's true.
At first I aligned him with you, Paul.
Which I tried to cut my ties with.
I don't want to be aligned with Paul. Then I agreed. I said, he's not aligned with you because you're honest about your opinions. He's not.
Which is ridiculous.
I don't know if I
absolutely
think that's a
ridiculous.
Compliment or not.
It's ridiculous.
At least you're honest.
No one's more honest than me. I mean, I once said I'd rather be right.
Wrong.
No, he doesn't.
He never does.
When did he ever admit that he was wrong? Give me the first time.
I was wrong about the Cleveland game. I was wrong about the Houston game. I was wrong about the Denver game. I mean, it's a steady stream. I've had a terrible year.
You got to admit you're wrong if you picked wrong.
But I'm not. No. Well, who I picked to win the game ended up being right in some of those cases.
Right.
But what I'm talking about the game and what I feel about a game has been completely.
Give me the reason the Patriots are going to win this week. That's my question.
Paul probably doesn't think
I don't have.
He doesn't have to tell me they are going to win. Give me the reason they are going to
win. Why would they win?
Yes.
If they win, I would say that they are able to do what Bill Belichick talked about earlier in the week. When the defense, what does this defense do when it's playing well? Take the ball away.
It's a good answer, Fred.
My guess is
you
could have given
me that Flacco
away.
Has 17 picks, right? And that they're going to get a couple picks?
My guess is that they'll take the ball away if they're going to win the game.
I would agree.
And I don't think that's far-fetched.
I think they'll get pressure, and the pressure will lead to picks, and that's how they could win the game.
Yeah, the only problem is I didn't want to say that because they haven't done it.
Right, but they have done it this year.
Well, it is a matchup of teams that are trying to do something they really haven't done consistently well all year. You know, Flacco has thrown picks. The Patriots haven't really, you know, he's gotten sacked a lot, and he's thrown a lot of picks. The Patriots haven't gotten a lot of pressure, and they haven't taken the ball away.
Right.
Lately, I mean, there were times earlier in the season where I thought they were a little bit better in both of those categories, but lately they haven't been. But, you know, what Andy said, you know, and I just caught that email, I don't understand why you give – if Andy, you give the edge to the Baltimore on offense, defense, and special teams. So
well,
that
not
means,
really.
No, but well, let's just say for
wait
argument's
sake. Wait a minute.
Say,
do you or
we
don't talk, you?
Wait a minute. Let me just say for argument's sake that he
talked
does.
About specific
why does that mean
areas.
It's gonna be, well, why does that mean it'll be a blowout?
What?
If you think they're slightly better
but
in those three
how many
areas,
blowouts are there in the NFL at all?
Right. Like, why wouldn't
is
it be
that
close?
True or not?
What?
That you give them
give me specific areas.
offense, defense, special teams, do they have the Patriots edge? Baltimore.
I think, but the Patriots have a better running game.
I'm talking to Andy.
No, but
for a second.
Okay, I don't know what you're asking me, because do I think the Patriots will move the ball? Yes.
You know
I think they're
going
to have trouble scoring touchdowns.
You know how when we do matchups, our offense versus their team?
Yes, you write it.
Do they have the edge in those three areas?
I think the Patriots will move the ball with some consistency against the Ravens. I think it will bog down in the red zone, and if they kick field goals, I think they're going to lose this football game against the number 4 ranked red zone defense in the National Football League.
That's what's
because they have no weapons in the red zone.
And do you think that's what will happen?
Yes.
Okay.
But so, you want me to make these bold...
The direct question was, do they have the advantage in those three?
But I also think if the Ravens get...
I don't know, he hasn't said it yet.
He just said yes.
Why do you have to be Felger-like and boil it down to three words? Why can't we discuss the game like... Because Felger's not educated, he doesn't know the details, so that's how he has to look at it. I give you more credit than that, Fred. You know that the Patriots have two backup tackles. You know they're going against two elite pass rushers in Doomerville and Suggs. You know that could be a problem. If that matchup dominates for the Baltimore side, then they're going to have trouble moving the ball at all, not just in the red zone.
And in the scenarios that you've painted before Paul came, it looked like the Patriots didn't have a chance.
No. See, you didn't listen, because I told you every which way I possibly could that it was going to be a tight ball game in which a number of close-type factors favor the Ravens. Red zone defense matters in close games.
Right.
Kickers matter in close games. They have a better kicker. You usually have the advantage at kicker, and they have the better kicker.
In every matchup, you gave the Ravens the edge.
No, that's not true.
Yes,
see, you're
did.
In the three matchups that I said that I thought were key.
You just said.
Kick returner.
Oh, my God.
Kicker.
You just said in every tight matchup, I gave you reasons why the Ravens have the edge.
Tight. Okay. Tight game matchups. I think red zone defense and I think special teams matter in tight games. I give the advantage to the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
Thank you.
And
I asked you to give me an advantage in any matchup, and you failed miserably.
I said that I think if one of the two rookies come back, I think they'll have a little bit more success in the red zone.
So, not a little bit more. Do they have the advantage? Are you now predicting the Patriots' offense to beat them? You're making me make this
obviously
grand assumption.
I am. They're not going to win
the
if
Patriots,
they don't.
Well, they can win a million different ways. If it's a tight ball game.
If they
game,
get to the red zone and they can't score.
Well, that's wrong. If Julian Edelman returns a punt 80 yards for a touchdown, you could win the football game. That could happen.
Well, yeah. I mean,
why does everything get boiled down to just one over? You know, you got to paint it with this big broad brush.
You can't score for
not. Most people do not predict games based on those outlier
plays. If Shane Vereen scores on a 40-yard screen pass, you can go 0-for-5 in the red zone. But I just gave you two touchdowns.
I mean, the Patriots almost went 1-for-3 in the red zone the other day and won the game if they stopped Charles Clay short of the first down on fourth down.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I
right?
think it's
so they didn't do well in the red zone, and they could have won.
Why do we have to oversimplify
it? We all believe it's going to be a close game.
Yes.
But
right?
I don't understand, and I don't want to hijack your argument. You guys can continue. But just because Andy thinks that the Ravens have the edge in some of these matchups, or maybe all of them, why that means he thinks it's going to be a blowout. I think that the Ravens might be a little bit better in the red zone than the Patriots will be scoring in the red zone. Edge Ravens. Maybe Justin Tucker is a little bit better right now than Gostkowski. Gostkowski has had a great year. He might have a little bit of an edge. He might be a little hotter right now. So what's that? We're talking about the difference between a point.
I know. Well, that's the thing. It's going to.
But Andy's getting attacked because he says that the Ravens have the edge in all these things, but yet he's picking a close game. I don't think that's hypocritical. I don't think that's contradictory.
No, you had to be there before.
Oh, of course, Fred. You're going to massage it.
It wasn't.
I think it's going to be a close game.
He wasn't talking about they're a little bit better in all these areas. He was not.
I wasn't.
Saying that.
No. Were you listening?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think you were.
Yeah.
I really don't think you were. Then
the only way the Patriots have a chance is if another team screws up.
How did I say that? I just said
that kind of thing.
If Julian
those
Edelman
are the exact words. See again.
I kind
this
of.
Is where
I
you're
kind of
honest
think that.
And he's not.
If but see, I don't. Is it if you give up a punt return? Is that just a flat screw up? If Julian Edelman is a very good punt returner.
Yeah.
It all depends on how it happens.
I know.
Julian Edelman returns a punt.
No, it's
a great play.
No one predicts.
If they give up a punt return, they screwed up.
I know. But when people are predicting games, no one says, "Well, I think Edelman's going to return a punt." You know, those are outliers that you don't factor into like whether a team's going to win or not.
But it doesn't mean you screwed up.
No, I didn't say anything about
and
screwing
when a game
up.
Is a field goal game, as I told you, these teams have played 17 games decided by a field goal. They've played four games together decided by a field goal or less. It's probably going to be close, and plays like that matter.
Right, and I think that Patriots, for the most part, make less mistakes than other teams.
But that's why they're in games. But not this year.
It's not because of personnel.
But
it's not
really,
because of
but
talent.
But not really this year.
It's because
I think part of it's talent. When Tom Brady has thrown for 300 yards in basically six straight weeks, there's some talent involved
there. But just for a point of comparison,
He didn't not make mistakes. He threw for 300 yards.
Correct me on my numbers here, but we looked this up yesterday when we were doing some of the stuff for the TV show. Baltimore has given the ball away 22 times. They turned it over 22 times. The Patriots, 19. So in this particular game, that's not a huge advantage for the Patriots.
Well, when I say mistakes, I mean mental errors. I'm not talking about turnovers. You know, I'm talking about the dumb plays that.
What's a mental? I mean, we're dumb now see mental errors.
Is it a mental error?
A dumb play when Wes Welker doesn't field a punt. Things like that.
That was a physical error.
That's a physical error.
Well,
too.
It was a mental error not to field the punt.
So the Patriots won. I mean, the Dolphins won last week because of a mental error. Is that what you're going with?
It's rare, though. It's rare.
Fred's got sources telling him that the DB, Michael Thomas, did exactly what he should not have done to pick that pass off. He should not have been there.
Well, he said that.
Oh, he did?
He said he played a hunch, and he left his guy.
Fred says that, you know, they would have won if he had played it the way you're supposed to play.
I'll say this. If Michael Thomas was not there, that pass was incomplete.
Yeah, I don't know if
it was way behind.
And I didn't just say what he just said.
I didn't hear what you said, so yeah. I know what he does, believe me. He does that to me all the time.
Again, why I won't align him with you.
I'm fine.
Thanks, Fred.
You're welcome, Paul.
I am very much fine not being aligned with Paul.
See, next week, Andy will go to the locker room, and then Andy comes back in, and me and Freddie yelling at each other.
Let's see. So what was going on that
locker
room?
Let me tell you something. You do well to be aligned with me once in a while.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Mr. Hothead over there.
Yeah.
I want to go to the Super Bowl.
What's going on in that locker room? He's such a jerk.
He really is. It's just unbelievable. I don't want to freeze my behind off. And,
the
you know,
sports jerk.
Makes me a bad guy. Locker
see
room.
See my text to Maury Levine from Comcast?
Yes. Locker room had a 20-25-1 ratio today of media to players.
Really?
There were a few that talked, and I was in on the Logan Mankins talk, which I think is a big talker this week with soldier situation that we let off the show with. Talked a lot about.
You're right. It's a big talk, but I hadn't even thought of the guy. Like, I know they have a good pass rusher, but now it just clicked that it's Terrell Suggs. Like, that could be a turn to a heavyweight bout. They could just start swinging at each other.
Yeah.
Balls could get punched. I mean, this is a guy who totes
flags
a pipe.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these are two guys that could fight.
There's a chance that they're both out of the game in the middle of the first quarter.
I just thought of that.
You know,
that's phenomenal.
It's going to be like
70.
Would you take that
and 55
trade?
Are ejected.
I would take Mankins and anyone.
No. I'm not talking about fight, but
I would take that trade.
If you could say you're going to lose Mankins, but they're going
to
lose Suggs,
yep,
would
I'll
you
take
that?
I'll take it. I'll make the swap. And I'll feel better about winning the football
lose
game.
Lose them for the game or lose them for...
For the game. They get kicked out of the game.
Oh, then yeah.
For
yeah.
a red card.
Yeah.
A red
yeah,
card.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you meant for like for the season. I was like, no.
Oh, you're really dangerous.
That's going to be like one of those hockey fights where you know like the start of the... As soon as they drop the puck...
They throw down.
Right.
The old days when they still out.
Yeah, he didn't offer much insight, obviously. He was playing it pretty close to the vest. But just talked about, you know, there is a difference and, you know, you move like that. And he does have some experience with it, but... At the same time, it could be different if I had to play there next week because, you know, teams would, you know, Baltimore would be able to watch him a little bit and, you know, get a read on that. But he admitted, I think it's 10 snaps that he played before last week at left tackle since college.
And did you think his arms looked like they didn't extend?
Mankins?
Yeah. Like
I thought he did a good job.
You're used to tackles, like, having these real wide.
Right.
His arms looked like they stopped, like he was a guard, and they're so used to doing this.
Well, we'll
that they
find
never
out that
out.
He has two broken elbows in the offseason.
You know, we were talking about that today. You know, there's, you know, some of these guys, you know, like Stephen Neal right now, he's probably having a hard time moving around already with all the injuries that he played through when he was here.
Oh.
Logan Mankins is going to be one of those guys. When he retires.
I told you that day, like, a couple weeks ago, a month and a half, when
he
was peeling
like
the elbow thing off,
moving around.
He did look like he couldn't bend his elbow when he was peeling. He was like, and he pulling like a thing. He could, for all we know.
Yeah. Eric's but here, too.
Steve Gregory also Eric's talked eating. In the locker room. I was not in on that. I think, were you in on Gregory? Gregory.
Steve-O.
Who are you getting to know with?
Chris White.
I need that, because he is the most irrelevant Patriot.
I needed it, too. And he gave...
Do you think of him at all, Fred? Ever?
No.
Like,
no.
And
he's been
he plays
on the 53
every week.
All year.
Know he was
every
on the
week he plays.
He's
what
been
did
active.
I call him? The,
active. He's Tracy White.
No, but I added a word to it. The forgettable Tracy White or
something like that.
He's like Tracy White, but far more forgettable.
Right. And he gave some good answers. I'm not going to give the answer away here, but he
tease
gave
it, baby.
The best answer ever to the question, if we made your life story into a movie, who would you cast as you?
Tracy
gave the
White.
Best answer I've ever heard. And I had to repeat the question. I mean, I had to repeat the answer because it was so ridiculous.
Now
that I was like, are you sure? Because at first I thought
did
he was messing with
gender?
Me. At first, I thought he was messing with me. So I gave him the out. And he was completely serious and followed up with the explanation as to why he would want it. So
okay, we'll look forward to that.
Look for that in the next issue.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Don't try to give it away now. Right. We have to get them to buy it.
Hogan.
And I talked to Shane Vereen for the TV interview.
Miley Cyrus.
How is he? How's he feeling?
He's feeling fine.
He came in like a wreck.
He's healthy.
Yeah.
But you know, Shane's pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Shane doesn't offer.
Who does?
No, but he in particular is pretty quiet. But he admitted, I asked him, I go,
he doesn't always say anything. It's just how he says it.
I asked him a couple weeks ago, 17 targets. You know, did you ever have, you know, the ball thrown to you that many times? Like, no. You know, he admitted that was a rarity. And
yet people were mad he didn't get it the next week that many times.
I didn't get into, you know, whether or not he was upset. I kind of glossed over that last week, but I asked, you know, pass protection was a big part of last week's thing, so.
The A-gap stunts.
I asked him about, you know, all these weather games.
What was in that pasta you just ate? You're like, you're bouncing off the walls.
You got me wired up.
It's like
it's 5-hour pasta. Argument you should that see got me when wired up.
5-hour pasta?
Yeah, you should see when he does the eggnog on over the weekends. Yeah. What is that eggnog
crap? Have you tried
crap?
Those? You're a Dunkin' Donuts guy. They're lattes. Have you tried those
eggnog
at all?
Eggnog latte.
I stay away from those.
He comes in, his eyeballs are like this big.
Eggnog latte is... It is. It's like crack. It tastes so good. It gives you... It's like
and
sugar.
A red velvet donut, Fred, and he's good to go.
Seriously. The
red velvet
pre-game
donuts
social,
there?
Yeah. Pre-game social 2 weeks ago, I had one of those egg, and I was just not.
He was
couldn't
yelling
stop
at me
talking,
the whole
but
show.
Then, like, an hour and a half in.
Right.
I just crashed. I had nothing. I was done.
A kid on a sugar.
That was the debacle I hosted.
Imagine if him and Brian were still together.
Heard it wasn't that bad.
When the show when was. When
he
Brian
falls asleep,
did it.
Poops his pants. He's like a baby.
I haven't pooped my pants in quite a while.
Kevin, like that.
Notice
like
I'm still baby. Rinsing out your waiters.
Oh, really?
Have a little accident.
Shart.
I sharted. I sharted.
I shot a duck in more ways than one.
Eric, you were also at practice.
Yes, where Nate Solder was not there, nor was rookie Josh Boyce.
Okay.
And I don't recall Boyce. Seeing him get hurt in the game.
He went out with a foot injury.
Foot injury. His foot.
Yeah.
In the fourth
quarter.
Did
I put that
quarter.
In the notes?
I don't remember if it was in the notes. I kind of blank out.
It was
bit.
In our paper.
It was
I
in
thought,
somewhere.
I thought you did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just it completely escaped
just
my mind.
Andy. He
really
wrote
did.
Something that he forgot.
I really did. I completely forgot about that.
Well, in Eric's defense, it was a sentence among a 900-word notebook that he wrote. You forget whether you wrote a story or
right.
not. Josh McDaniels come to congratulate to thank you for a story that you had written, and you
the week before
you literally did not know that you had written a story about him.
I have issues. I'm concussed.
I guess so.
That's why I told you, you're foggy on the whole, what is a concussion
thing? I bet you have CTE.
Because you probably have one.
I bet you have CTE.
However,
yeah.
The two rookie receivers who have been missing from games still continue to practice. And
did you see them do any running?
Saw them do a little bit of the ball protection drill, jumping through the bags. And
okay.
They seem to, you
they
know.
They weren't inhibited at all?
Didn't look like it.
Could Dobson
not, not a strange gait?
They'll play this.
No.
You know
no.
who had a little bit of a gait? Marcus Cannon. Looked like he was laboring a little bit when I saw him walk through the locker room.
Okay.
So Smitek's going to play right tackle while Mankin plays left.
No, I mean, I'm guessing he'll play. You know, I'm guessing it's not any worse than it was before last
play.
Game.
Will we have more active linemen? Do they need to have more questions? Because Smitek's still got his injury issues. Mankin's got two broken elbows, according to Frank.
If Cannon is inactive, then, yeah, I would guess that somebody is going to have to be, you know,
plus
active.
We haven't even talked about we're kind of focusing on the edges here. Klein, Conley, Wendell in the middle dealing with Haloti Ngata is another issue that I'm concerned about.
Yeah, he's good.
Oh, that worries you too?
Blowout.
Still got the Patriots,
Andy.
Though.
Andy,
no,
blowout.
He's got the Patriots, because why? Well, I only picked four losses,
he
and
has
I can't
feeling.
Pick any more losses.
How many people,
he has a feeling.
How many people earlier in the show,
12 and
5. I'm assuming we discussed like playoff seeding and stuff earlier?
Not really.
Oh, no?
Yeah, we haven't got to that yet.
Oh.
If
you know,
if
once
Patriots,
we qualify for the playoffs, we'll talk about that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If the Patriots lose this game in Miami wins.
Mm.
My guess is next week people are going to come to the realization that they have to beat Buffalo.
Yeah.
To
make the playoffs,
to ensure that they make the playoffs. And
because I'm a little worried that
I don't think anybody in New England has even have that in their back of their
here's,
mind.
Here's
anyway.
What I'm worried about.
Steve Burton today, when we were doing All Access, looked like we were absolutely insane.
Well,
Matt says I think we need to talk about some of these things. Well, what are you talking about? And he goes, you know, Matt says, everybody's talking about whether or not they can get the number one or two seed.
They have to make the playoffs.
Can they get the six? They're not guaranteed the sixth, is
they
what Matt said.
They need to beat Baltimore. I mean,
right.
And Baltimore needs to win, too. But the Patriots need to win this game.
Yes, which is why I'm worried, because if they don't win this game and Cincinnati wins their game this week. I forget who they're playing.
Minnesota.
Well, so chances are good that they win that game.
Yeah.
You suddenly have the same record as Cincinnati, and which means they have the tiebreaker over you.
Right.
And if Baltimore continues to win the following week and Cincinnati loses...
They play each other.
They play each other. That's the thing.
Oh, they do. Okay, yeah. So if Baltimore wins that game, they win the North.
They win the AFC North, and if Miami and wins out and you lose to Buffalo, you're out.
You're out.
Yeah.
Trivia question for you two. How many players
would
get more
the wild card?
No, because
Cincinnati would get
Kansas City already okay. has it.
Yeah,
and Cincinnati
would get the other one because they have the tiebreaker over you.
Yeah.
How many players with more than 8 sacks do the Bills have?
I know the
how
answer, but
I'm
not going to say.
How many players with more than 8 sacks do the Bills have?
Because we talked about this.
Name them.
Mario Williams.
Yep.
Jerry Hughes.
2.
Kyle Williams.
Those are all right,
3.
But it's 4.
Oh.
There's one more.
Marcel Darius.
No. Darius?
Yes. So all I'm saying is a team that has struggled with good defensive fronts could be in a must-win game against a team that, I don't know, has 4 guys with 8 sacks.
Yeah.
But the cart's a little ahead of the horse. We should probably talk about this week.
Yes.
Well, not according to you. It's blowout. I don't even know.
Don't do that. I think they should be that guy.
I think they should forfeit to be in a better physical state heading into the Buffalo game.
They have no shot.
But you know what? Historically, in games like this where we worry and they
nobody really thinks that this is even in Andy's defense. He thinks it's going to be a last play of the game type game. No one thinks that they have no chance. I was exaggerating.
Oh, okay, no, but I'm saying
Baltimore.
Well, but I'm saying I think there are some people who are legitimately concerned about this game. And
rightfully so. I think everybody's concerned about it.
If you're not concerned about this, you're a moron.
You have your eyes closed.
I'm not making this up. I think most Patriots fans are worried
concerned,
about this
yes,
game.
Concerned, yes, I agree.
As they should. I don't know how you couldn't be.
Yeah.
You're playing field goal games. This team has played you tough in recent history nonstop. How could you?
And even when Baltimore plays bad, they play field goal games too. They're just like you.
It's
a mirror image.
Even if generic team, you're going on the road against generic team that has very good defensive front. That's a recipe for a Patriots loss. So even with that, without taking the Baltimore and the blah blah blah.
Absolutely.
And here's how frightening we always talk about the game of inches that the NFL is. 2 weeks ago, when Miami beat Pittsburgh in the snow. And Pittsburgh had that 5 lateral score at the end.
One of which was forward, but that's okay.
But
they didn't call it
because of that. They called it because the guy
went out of bounds. Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown had his toe right out of bounds. If it weren't for that, Patriots would have won the AFC East before going to Miami, and we wouldn't even have to be worrying about making the playoffs.
Kind of like it was in the old days when they won the AFC East like in early December, not on the last day of the season.
Yeah. Crazy though. Crazy to think.
Once again, completely dismissing the possibility that they win the AFC East this week.
Andy pointed
out. They could. The Dolphins could lose.
Andy pointed out, according to this email.
I actually think the Dolphins are going to have a tough game at Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, they got 4 defensive linemen with 8 sacks.
But I also think they're going to be fat and happy, feeling all good about themselves about winning a big game.
I think Philbin, very impressed with what he's done.
Well, wow! I never thought I would hear the day.
Because I think he sucks, but I'm objective.
You just lied.
I'm objective.
He admits when he's wrong. Okay.
Because I'm objective. I thought it was a sinking ship that he was going to be fired.
He's not really
admitting
he's wrong.
Objective, a little bit strong.
Yeah, right.
But he has crucified Joe Philbin. Partly because he doesn't like the way he looks, and partly because he doesn't like the way he dresses. And the other part is because he used to coach Northeastern.
No. And you missed the fourth part of that third. Right?
He can't help
this
the
is
way
not
he
a
looks.
Dictatorship. You know, we all give no, we don't. You're the dictator. No, this is a dictatorship.
A lot of different ways to do it, Andy.
I said the same thing when we heard that in the preseason, but I was quick to say that.
Because you're a reactionary hothead like
him. He's changed me. You know, he's.
Oh, I thought he and Ireland were done. I thought they were done with the whole scandal. I thought this season was going to spiral out of control.
I definitely thought there was two different things that could happen, and that the second thing happened. I thought the first
Which
thing
is why I don't think they're going to feel fat and happy. I don't think they feel like they've done what they want to do.
I certainly think if they are able to win this game against Buffalo, I don't see them losing at home to the Jets. I think that they'll
lose at home to the Jets.
Imagine if
way.
We have to rely on the Jets. To
no, but I'm saying they'll have a chance to. They control their destiny.
Yeah.
Miami's in the playoffs if they win 2 games. Doesn't matter what everybody else.
And
does.
We're in the playoffs if they lose.
Right.
Correct?
The last time we had to rely on the Jets, they screwed us. Remember in 2009?
We don't really have to
08?
Rely on the Jets. We just have to beat Buffalo.
Oh,
it was
08.
Because we were flying back from.
We needed the Jets to win, and they lost.
No, they won.
Wasn't it?
Oh, they won?
Oh, no, the Jets lost
the Jets
to Miami.
Lost
and we were out of the playoffs.
Yeah, it was 2002 that we needed the Jets to lose,
In-N-Out.
And they won.
Yes.
In-N-Out? Is that what In-N-Out game?
In-N-Out, both of those games.
I couldn't remember what that was. Somebody asked me something about that the other day on the radio. And I go, I don't know. The cover was in and out. I couldn't tell you what happened in the game or
in
the
2008,
scenario.
We beat Buffalo in that wind game.
Yes.
And we needed Miami to lose at the Meadowlands to the Jets. And Miami beat the Jets.
So, when we left Buffalo, remember, we were watching
ESPN on the way home, and the updates kept coming up.
Email us says, Baltimore kicker was better playing at home. Baltimore return game is better, and ours is horrible. Kevin added in just how bad we suck. Thanks, Kevin. Baltimore defense line is playing well. Our offensive line is falling apart. Baltimore red zone defense is great, and we have no one who can score in the red zone. Brady has been inconsistent. He was yelling at this point, Andy was, so it was hard to tell. He could have.
This is the argument. This is a recap of the argument.
It was hard to tell. Like he could have been talking about Flacco. I don't know. Andy was positive about players who are no longer active. Then there was a number of whispered comments whenever anyone said anything positive. Most of them smarmy comments about how we can't win.
Yes, that's an Andy. That's Andyism.
That is why it seems as though he was painting a picture of a team that can't win, but was really trying to describe a close game. When I look back on what he said, I don't know why it did not seem like he was describing a close game.
There you go, Andy. That's why. It's a tonality issue with you.
It is a tonality issue. You need to listen to the facts, not the way I say it.
Okay. Screaming.
And that's the under your breath smarmy comment right there, Fred. There you go. This is so much more fun when it's not me.
I enjoyed doing it. I get a little sore throat now.
Yeah, I came in. They were like yelling at each other.
And then we were talking about coaches and players doing commercials. Emailer says, I don't mind players and coaches doing commercials, but why does Jerry Jones have to do them?
Because he's Jerry Jones. Why do you have to get a facelift?
How about him, Jerry Jones?
That's what he wants to be. Okay. He wants to be in the spotlight. He has a massive ego.
I don't have any problem with doing.
No, this came up because another Harbaugh commercial came up that I hadn't seen, a new version of a Coke commercial. And I asked Fred, do you have any problem with, because Fred has such a problem with players doing too many commercials. I asked if his coach, and it's okay if coaches do it.
Yeah, I have a problem with Jerry Jones.
You know, the guy who has to spend more time actually planning for the entire franchise, he's okay with them taking time to do commercials.
He asked me specifically if I had a problem with Harbaugh doing those commercials, and I said no.
Don't you think they do them though during the off season?
That's what I said.
They do.
That's exactly
just
what
like
I said.
It's not like they're getting any.
That's exactly what I said. Already.
Just like I think players do their stuff during off time, downtime when they're not here.
I don't have any problem.
And yet
with
Fred is always mad at players for doing too much.
It all depends on who it is.
At Bar Louie on a Tuesday during the season for $50. That was in the off season.
It's an off day.
Off time. Off time.
Tuesday.
I said
it's an off day.
Tuesday. It's an off day.
Yeah. Use your ears a little. Off time.
I don't think he needs to be doing that.
No one said he needed to be doing
it. And we all agreed with it at the time.
If I were a Cowboy fan, I wouldn't have any problem with Jerry Jones other than the fact that he insists upon being the GM.
Right.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
And now he has a Bobo for a coach that is a yes man to him, and he's going to keep him. Now, they may flame out and lose these games, and he might have no choice because he might just bow to public pressure. But Jason Garrett is a train wreck. And he just keeps standing by him because you know Jason Garrett. Hey, anything you say, Mr. Jones? Hey, you know, yeah, sure.
I can't imagine that Jason Garrett is going to last this offseason.
How bad is the talent on the Cowboys?
I don't think it's that bad.
See, I don't either.
I don't think it's a wonderfully talented team.
Oh, see, I think they have talent.
I think they have some talent, but I don't think it's a tremendously talented team.
I think he hasn't done a hideous job as a GM. I think he does a hideous job as an owner managing the overall franchise.
Well, why
with
can't the defense
hires.
Stop anybody?
I don't know. I think Monty Kiffin, the league, passed him by about 8 years.
But, I mean, they weren't that much better last year with
Rob
Ryan.
No, I know. I'm not saying they're
great.
And
I think Rob Ryan does a decent
job. But I think
they
have some talent on both sides of the ball. I don't think he's been the abysmal GM that people want to make him out to be. I think he's a worse owner than GM.
So much for Buffalo doing the Patriots a favor and beating Miami this Sunday. Thad Lewis will be the quarterback.
What happened to Manuel?
They just announced Schefter is tweeting Manuel's knee injury is acting up and Thad Lewis has been named the starter.
Wow.
Well, that could be a very good thing for the Patriots then, because maybe he won't play the last game.
You also
game
need to talk to Moore about the preview. I didn't know he wasn't playing, so as of now, you were getting a silhouetted EJ Manuel on the preview.
Well, I'll have to see if there's any chance that he plays.
I bet you there is, because remember the last time
you know what that means,
Andy. The starter, he didn't play, right?
I also thought Buffalo had a chance to win that game.
Which game?
Against Miami.
I just said that.
You're sure they do.
You don't have to yell at him. He's been a very productive force on this show for the last couple weeks.
I was going to call him something.
Dago?
Something that you probably shouldn't say like that.
You can't say Dago?
You shouldn't.
You can, but it's a very derogatory term.
So don't say it a third time.
I don't even know what it means. What does it mean?
It's a slur.
It is.
It's a slur against
Italians.
It's
a racial slur against Italians, which means it's okay to
say it
on
racial,
the radio.
Well, not racial. It's ethnic.
Ethnic, yes.
I'm sorry. You are correct, Freddie. As you often are, Fred.
But those
You're
aren't considered the
too.
Same as, you know, other words. The N-word, right?
No, no, I told you, you can do anything.
Well,
to
but
the
a
Italians.
Lot of people, like I hear people use the word greenhorn all the time.
Just so
down
you know, that word
Portuguese
is
Portuguese people.
That word is similar for
Shouldn't
Italians.
Be using that either,
right?
But we don't
it's
take
not
it that
treated
way
like the N-word
because it's a word, and we don't, you know, have to go.
If someone
call
walked into
it.
A convenience store and said the N-word, there would be an issue with somebody in the convenience store.
Exactly.
If somebody walks in and says greenhorn or dago, I don't think either of those words draw really
no,
any.
Like speaking
notice.
Only for the Italians is because we can take it.
I don't think the history of Italians in this country is the same as African Americans.
You know what you might want to do? Open a history book.
Oh, you guys were brought over here in chains?
Is
that right?
They're not slaves.
You were slaves?
You are right.
Please.
You are right.
I mean, don't.
You're right. There's a difference between slavery. I'm talking about how they were treated.
That's what I'm talking
okay.
about.
All right, Fred. I misspoke.
Everybody was. Anybody knew was treated that way. Irish people, Polish people.
Right.
They were all treated that way. They weren't brought here in slaves
Fred,
as slaves.
I said you're right. There's
okay.
a difference between slavery. I immediately, as soon as you
and
said.
And that's the difference.
But
that's why the N-word is different.
As soon as you said that they were brought here in chains, I said you're right.
Okay, but
the moment you said the word chains, I said you are right. I said you were right.
Okay.
Right. Should I have said I'm wrong instead?
No, you
I was
say
wrong.
You ought to open up a history
no,
book.
Well, you should because you're just completely dismissing.
Again.
No.
Then you're not
but
saying
not,
I'm right.
No. You are right because it was way worse for black people.
Not,
way worse.
Not way worse.
Yes, no,
like
it was way worse.
Like a million, billion, zillion
okay.
times
okay.
worse.
Okay.
Like not even in the
okay.
same universe worse.
Okay. You're right.
Okay. Moving on.
Wow. It was a picnic. It was a picnic for my people.
Oh, you're not gonna let it go.
Move on.
You're not gonna let it go. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
My people.
Fred.
Also
my
Freddy.
People.
He's like at a podium addressing
my
Moses.
He shall Freddy. Overcome.
Freddy. In all seriousness, it was a dumb thing that I said.
I.
It was a. In all, and I'm being dead serious now, not being sarcastic. It was
people.
A dumb. It was a dumb thing that I said.
Okay. Moving on.
And I don't have a smarmy comment to
tell right, you. Yeah, I know. Right, he was.
I said in all seriousness, it was a dumb thing.
All
to
right,
say.
All right. Christian writes in. And
T-I-A-N?
Not the T-I-N. Another
Denmark?
Chris from Boston.
Oh.
I want to comment on the upcoming game in Baltimore. This will be our third biggest game of the season right under the Broncos and Saints. Well, it's the biggest right now. I think it's bigger. They keep getting more important. We are going on the road to face a hot, well-coached, balanced team who's fighting for a playoff spot. They got a good clutch quarterback in Flacco who has some decent weapons and a young, disciplined defense that can stop people. If we can go to Baltimore and beat them in their own house in a must-win game for them, that will really reveal a lot about this team going forward. I see the key being red zone scoring, which brings me to my closing question. Why don't we use Dobson and Tompkins in the red zone more often? Well, they're not out there. They are taller receivers who can outfight a defensive back for the ball, unlike Edelman in On the Mandola. What do you guys think? You know, they weren't available last game.
Yeah, the last two games.
Yeah.
And Dobson's case, the last three games.
So, but yes.
It's a big boost to the red zone offense, I think.
But I think if they are healthy and out there, I think it helps.
I think they're better options.
They're going to be out there
this
week.
One of the reasons why I think.
At least one of them has to.
I think
they're better options than Edelman and Amendola. I'm not sure that they're going to make the difference that people think they're going to.
Well, I'm not sure they're going to make the difference because the defense is better. That's the issue. You could be 20% better against a 25% better defense.
Yeah, so you're still
going one for four in the red zone.
I would absolutely rather be throwing the ball to Tompkins and Dobson if I'm got to throw a fade or something like that down in the red zone than I would Edelman and Amendola.
Or Colley, who was actually on the field, too.
Or Colley.
Anytime Colley's on the field, even though, you know, on third and four it's worked out for them, I'm not really looking for Colley to be involved.
Just not on fourth and four.
Toby in New York, I'm hearing a lot of talk about how the Patriots aren't running the ball enough, and I'm dumbfounded. If you look at the past five games, the same thing keeps happening. The Patriots start off conservative, trying to get the running game going, and guess what? They go nowhere. After falling behind, they finally decide to hurry up and spread the ball, ultimately leading them to putting some much-needed points on the board. The running game might look good on paper, but they lack a back who could break off a huge run. What usually happens is they'll get a nice run of about 5 to 6 yards on first down, followed by a run of 1 to 3 yards on second. The pressure then falls on Brady to convert on third down again
and
again.
Oh, my God.
It's called life of an NFL quarterback.
I'm sorry.
Why would you put it into a third and one? Why would we want that?
I'm sorry, but I don't consider this a great running team. I don't either.
It's not a great running
team.
If
you ask me, the Pats should start off games in the two-minute offense just like they end them. That's what always worked for them, and that's what's working this year. Let's put the pedal to the metal and start scoring some points in the first half.
That was a little bit of a discussion with Brady today. Tempoing it,
mm-hmm.
snapping.
Right. And he looked like he was trying to find the diplomatic way of answering the question, because I think it was Rich Garvin was like, you know, how come you haven't been running the up tempo no huddle more often this year? And he kind of gave one of those looks like, I can't really tell you what I'm really thinking, mm-hmm. and I have to try to figure out a way of saying this without getting anybody in trouble. So I wonder what
if that's true.
Well, it's not that hard.
I mean, no, I know, but
we got rookie receivers who barely know where to line up.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about. Remember when was it the Saints game that was Colley's first game, and they went hurry up, and Colley was on the field, and everybody's like, oh, well, you have young receivers who I think there's some question as to whether you can rely on them in those types of situations repetitively to just keep doing that.
And also on that email, that has been true for a lot of games. It wasn't true the last game. The Patriots took a 10-0 lead last game.
Right.
They ran the ball in the first drive of the game, 16 plays, got first and goal to the 10-yard
well.
Line. And then they stopped running and didn't score.
Right.
That's what people are complaining about. Right. Not that, you know, there have been some games that they've run the ball early in games, not all that effectively, fallen behind, and then you get out of whack. That didn't happen against Miami. They scored the first 10
and
points.
And people are also complaining about the lack of the run in the red zone.
Right. Yes. I think they ran the ball. What they did in between the 20s to me was fine. Mm-hmm. It's what they did when they got down close. It seemed like they tried to throw it
and
it
oh,
didn't.
By the way, Brady was going 2 of 11.
Right.
All right, John Rooks here. Hey, John.
Hey, Fred.
How did nitpick go yesterday?
Nitpick was really good yesterday to the point where I got a bunch. I probably maybe
got
more
a lot
like
of hate
a dozen.
Mail, huh?
I actually got several comments after the show was over saying, "Wow, negative show today," because I said that, you know, frankly, I'm not real confident about this team's chances over the last 2 weeks, the way the things are presently, constructed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I've decided that I'm going to do the turnabout about face today.
Really?
All positive today, Fred.
So now
positive.
You're going to be mad at him, right, Fred? Because he's not really being honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're going to stick to your guns. If you really don't believe that, then...
John, tell me why the Patriots
giggles, that evil giggle.
Can win this week.
Can?
Give me the scenario, the reason, the matchup that will allow the Patriots to win this football game in Baltimore.
They can't.
No. He doesn't believe it. He's
all positive.
See, even I believe. I believe.
I'm all positive.
I'm going to get all the negativity positively out of the way right now.
John Rook and Andy Hart are aligned.
Well, Fred and I went back and forth, and I kept giving him reasons why I think Baltimore, it's going to be a tight game, because that's what these teams play with each other and with everybody else this year.
Correct.
But, you know, red zone defense. They have a good red zone defense. Your red zone offense stinks.
Stinks.
They have a good kick returner and return game who can be a factor in close games and has shown that ability recently within the last month.
Correct.
They have actually the advantage in kicker probably, which is something you've had most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They have the advantage in kicker.
Right.
They're at home. They have a tough defensive front. When the Patriots go on the road against a tough defensive front, you usually lose.
Stacked against them, isn't it?
Yep.
Which is part of the reason why I think
that's why Andy thinks they're going to lose in the last play of the game.
It's also,
no, I didn't say that.
It's also part of the reason why I think they can win the game. I just right now don't think they will, but they can.
I mean, part of the reason they win, Baltimore doesn't run the ball. They can't run the ball.
Nope.
So one of your weaknesses is run defense. You'll probably be fine on run defense this week. And I also think they're just inconsistent offensively with Flacco. When he's on, like he was last year in the postseason, he was great. He hasn't been that guy this year consistently.
To me, the entire key is whether or not Baltimore's offensive line can protect him, because they've been a mishmash of a lot of different things.
And look, my hope is that the Patriots figure things out this week.
Well, of course.
Offensively.
Right. Yes.
Offensively.
Yes.
I'm not so scared about Baltimore's offense. So I don't think they're going to put up a ton of points.
I am.
I don't think he'll put up a ton of points.
I'm scared about
either.
Anybody's offense playing this defense.
I don't think he'll put up a ton of points either, but I don't think the Patriots' offense is capable
of doing
the same.
Well, that's the thing. My hope is that they
Which is
have
how you get a close game.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a close game.
In the last 3 weeks, I believe they faced the 31st, the 29th, and the 22nd ranked offenses the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't stopped one of them.
Nope.
So I'm done with not worrying about the other team's offense.
I don't know. I thought this was Patriots.com, Fred.
I'm worried about everything. I'm officially worried about everything.
We just morphed into Ravens.com.
I thought we were 10-4, Fred.
I think we're going to win this game.
Okay.
Yep. You know why?
I think we'll have a shot.
Because he only picked them to lose 4 games all year, so he can't pick any more losses.
I'll say that I think they have a chance, because I think that both of these teams play every game where could win or lose.
Right.
Fred,
I see no reason
before the year started,
changing.
I called 11-5.
Okay.
I think I'm in pretty good shape.
You're in good shape. Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody called 10 and 6?
I also called 20 to 17, which would have been the final score.
Yes.
If they hadn't given up
you
the...
You did. I called 27-23, so I missed by a field goal either way last week. Right?
Yeah.
All right. So 4-point Dolphins win.
Well, let's leave them together.
All right. We got to go. We'll leave you in the capable hands of
Pity
John
party.
Wood and Eric with the playbook. And for us, we'll
all
see you
all positive.
Tomorrow. Tell me how to live my life. Who are you to tell me if it's black or white? Mama, can you help me try to understand? It's eon since the difference between a boy and a man. My daddy lived the life, it's just the price that he paid.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.